B-Pod Studios.
Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo.
This is Over Under 98.5 with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz. Here are the Bankroll Boys. Who you got?
All right, we're back on the Over Under podcast. We continue our Power 5 preview. Of course, you can listen to the first half of our preview. It's 3 hours long. Today we're going to do the second half of the Big 10. We'll take a look at the Big 12 and, of course, the SEC conference. All the other conferences are on our first podcast. So, looking at the Big Ten, preview. I know we started on one side of the Big Ten, Dan. So, let's hit up the other side. Of course, we did Penn State, and then talked about Indiana, and gave our thoughts on Maryland, and of course Rutgers and Temple, and of course Michigan State's at the bottom. So let's look at the West Division, and I would say if we're looking at the West, I'd probably go Wisconsin right now as the favorite.
Okay. You don't think Iowa's the favorite there?
Well, they're going to be ranked 18, right? So they're probably going to be the preseason favorite. Let's just look at Wisconsin first, who's bringing back Graham Mertz. Obviously, Jack Cohen has moved on to Notre Dame. Mertz had some big games last year. The competition was schedule was favorable, and they have a favorable schedule this year. I think Mertz is about to have a big season. And obviously, they got one of the top offensive lines in the country. They got that dude, Jalen Berger, if you remember him, big old back. He's back. So their biggest issue is their yards per play. They're a team that grinds it out with their offensive line and the running game. They've been doing it for years, and they play good defense. So that's pretty much their big thing. Their defense holds teams to 17 points a game and 5 yards per play. They have 8 starters back, but they don't get a great pass rush. So I like what Wisconsin does year in and year out. They're a running back factory when it comes to – and, they do well when it comes to offensive linemen and tight ends. Graham Mertz expected to have a big season. I think that West Division is going to be tough, Dan. Not sure what the win total is. Again, if I was going to just bet on who would play in that game, I think Wisconsin's the team on that side. But what do we got for a win total and what's the schedule?
Yeah, so win total for Wisconsin's 9.5. We're looking at 9 offensive returning starters, 8 returning defensive starters, losing 15 total players last year. But they return, 47 guys at all. Just talked about Graham Mertz returning as a quarterback. This is a team that, they're pretty much plug and play in defense. I mean, they're always a top 10-ish team in defense. And, they've 7 of their 8 top tacklers back next year. So, I mean, they could be the Big Ten's best defense once again. Their schedule is going to be a little bit different this year, obviously. I'd say they have a massive, massive home field advantage. I think playing in Madison is a huge advantage for Wisconsin, especially when they're home. Their games are going to be interesting. They open with Penn State on the road, and then they have Eastern Michigan. They open with Penn State at home and Eastern Michigan on back-to-back weeks there. That Penn State game, I'll look for a line and see if I can find it. That Penn State game is going to really tell you a lot about this team early on, because Penn State is going to be a really good team this year. Okay, they're not going to be, they're not going to be elite, but they're going to be a very good team this year, and Wisconsin's going to be a very good team this year. Those are two teams that are going to battle it out in the Big Ten. Now, they're on different sides of the conference, so that game really doesn't, mean as much, maybe. But still, early season game between these two teams, Wisconsin's a 4.5-point favorite at home. So you would expect Wisconsin to get that win. I think it's a close game, but home in Wisconsin, you know, you're returning a large portion of that defense. I'll give them the dub there. Eastern Michigan at home is a win. Then they have a bye week leading into Notre Dame, which is technically considered a home game, but it's a neutral site game in Chicago, which you know means it's going to be mostly Notre Dame fans. That's going to be a, you know, that's going to be a really, that's probably going to be the game that decides their win total, because I think that that's going to be honestly their most important game of the season. And especially for ranking wise, that's probably their most important game of the season, maybe outside of Iowa later on. Then they, after the week after Notre Dame, they have Michigan at home, then Illinois on the road, Army at home, then they're on the road at Purdue, Iowa at home, which is their homecoming game, then they're at Rutgers, and they finish off home versus Northwestern, home versus Nebraska, which I was reading about today, may lose Scott Frost due to the investigation, and then they finish off on the road at Minnesota. I'm going to say Penn State's a win, Eastern Michigan's a win. Let's even say they lose that Notre Dame game. I think Michigan's a win. Michigan just can't beat any of these top teams. At Illinois is a win. Army is a win. So right now I got them 5 wins. At Purdue, 6. Let's say if they lose home versus Iowa, 7. I think at Rutgers is going to be a really tough game. That could be a trap game for them after Iowa. That could be a real big letdown game. But even so, at home versus Northwestern, Nebraska, that should put them at 9. So they really need to win one road game between Minnesota, Rutgers, and then the one home game versus Iowa and Notre Dame. I lean over on this team. I mean, I'm probably not going to PP it, but I feel very good about this team. Really good defensive team. Bring back a majority of their offensive line. Graham Hurts obviously showed at times as a quarterback. I just, I mean, I'm sure that they're not going to go 12-0, but I think this team is a very, very good chance to win 10 games this year at minimum. I think they go over that win total. I really do.
Yep, they're certainly primed for a big year, and they got that week 2 matchup with Iowa. And if you look at it, Iowa started 0-2 last year.
No, they face Iowa October 30th. They have Penn State week 1, three. Eastern Michigan week 2.
Sorry, no, that's right.
Iowa's week 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Week 9.
Wow. So they open versus Indiana. They go on the road to Iowa State.
You're looking at the wrong schedule for sure. You must be looking at last year's schedule. This is they open home versus Penn State and then they're home versus Eastern Michigan.
What am I looking at, bro?
I think you're looking at last year's schedule, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Their schedule this year: Penn State, Eastern Michigan, Notre Dame, Michigan, at Illinois, Army, at Purdue, Iowa, at Rutgers, Nebraska, at Minnesota. So, they don't do that. But again, last year you take a look at their schedule. They crushed Illinois. They crushed Michigan on the road. They actually lost Northwestern on the road last year, which is the second of that back to back. We talked about for Power Fives. They lost to Indiana. They lost at Iowa, and they finished off the season with an overtime victory in Minnesota. So they were 4-3 last year. All conference games. I think they'll be better this year than they were last year. I really do. I'd say they're probably more comparable to the 2019 team, which went, I think, 10-4 overall than the 2020 team. I think that they're probably more comparable that way. Again, you know, Phil Steele's talking about people, you know, there's a lot of people who have them going 12-0. I don't think they're going 12-0. I'd be surprised if they beat Notre Dame in a neutral site game and Iowa at home and Minnesota on the road and Rutgers on the road, which I do think is a sneaky trap game, and Penn State at home. Like, I do think they'll get caught at least once or twice there. But I do think that this is a good, you know, it's a hard schedule, but they get a lot of the good teams at home or neutral site games.
They saw Tyler Goodson, right?
Yep.
So he's one of the best backs in the country.
Oh, you mean you're talking about running backs? I'm talking Jalen Berger is going to be their they're going to be their starter in terms of running backs. So I mean that's where they're going to go, for Wisconsin in that case. But I mean, you know, Berger still is, I think he's a true freshman going to be this year. They're going to return Julius Davis and then Chez. I can't pronounce his last name. So I apologize for butchering this because I know I'm going to. But it's Chez Malusi, I think, is his other name. So, I mean, they are somewhat deep in the backfield there. So we'll see what happens. But I do think the Wisconsin team is going to be, you know, going to be pretty good this year. I lean very much over that 9.5, and I think that 9.5 is juiced. I probably might wait for a 10 and see if you can get some plus money on a 10 because I think there's a chance they go 11-1, but I still think over 9.5 is the right side there.
Are they still going with that kid Petras?
Quarterback? Wisconsin?
I'm sorry. I thought we were talking about Iowa. I apologize.
No, sorry. We're still talking about Wisconsin. We can move on to Iowa though.
Okay.
If you want, we can move on to the Iowa Hawkeyes here. Iowa. So
Iowa's got the best running back in the country coming back, in my opinion. That's probably
Tyler Goodson. What I was getting confused. Yeah, Tyler Goodson. Yep.
Yeah, in my opinion, like, dude, they started 0-2. They won the last six games. They were hot. That kid Petras came out of nowhere. They got a big ass tight end, Sam Laporta. Like, that offensively, which is always one of their problems. I think offensively they're going to be good. They got one of the best linebacking cores in the country. So, you know, they have to go on the road. Like, they have some tough road games for sure. I know you like Iowa. I think they're good. They got to lean on that run game, but I don't know if they got the hogs up front like they used to have in the past, you know?
I mean, it is a concern. They returned seven offensive starters, which is still pretty good. Their right tackle is going to be a redshirt freshman. So, I mean, you know, there's a little bit of an experience. They also supposedly have a sophomore guard, a sophomore center, and a junior right guard. So, I mean, and a sophomore left tackle. So, I mean, they're very young up front, but technically, you know, a lot of these guys got experience last year. They went 6-2. They finished second in the West, Joe. Like, this was a good Iowa team last year. And, you know, Spencer Petras replacing a guy like Nate Stanley. Again, Stanley's not exactly your prototypical NFL quarterback, but he's a good college quarterback, you know, does the job, gets everything. And I do think that Petras is going to have to be better than he was last year. You know, he started very well and then kind of faded down the stretch there with, you know, that the Illinois game, he struggled pretty badly. And same with the Nebraska game. Now, he played well against Wisconsin. And that was a good game for them. So, I mean, I do think that it's going to be, you know, a very similar type offense. Obviously, returning Petras and Goodson, they're probably going to run the ball a hell of a lot, even with the that offensive line. Their win total this year is 8.5, Joe. And I'll tell you, the under is heavily, heavily juiced. Let's go over their schedule. They open with Indiana at home this year. They are now a 3-point favorite in that game. They actually opened 7-point favorites in that game, if you can believe it. That line is down to 3. Their next week at Iowa State, which is a non-conference game and honestly a brutal one for them. Then they're home versus Kent State and home versus Colorado State to round out their non-conference schedule. Both of those should be wins. They continue their conference schedule at Maryland, which I think they should take care of Maryland this year on a Friday night. Home versus Penn State, which is nice for them. Home versus Purdue. Then they get a bye week, and then they are back-to-back roadies at Wisconsin and at Northwestern. So, I mean, you know, again, we've talked about a Power Fives. Your back-to-back roadies, you usually expect to drop at least one of those games, if not both. Then they're home versus Minnesota, home versus Illinois, and at Nebraska to finish the season, which I think could be a sneaky tough game, depending on Scott Frost is there or not. Just going off of the schedule, I don't like the week one home versus Indiana. I think that is a game where Indiana has really a legitimate chance to win that game the way that they play. And then they're on the road at Iowa State, that's a top 15-ish team in the country. Not easy to play. I don't love that for them. Home versus Kent State and home versus Colorado State should be easy wins. On the road to Maryland should be a win. I even think at home versus Penn State's a win. So, you know, we're looking at 4 wins right now. Home versus Purdue should be a win. At Wisconsin, I think they're going to lose that game. I just don't think they're good enough to win that game. Back-to-back roadies. I think Northwestern could surprise them, but let's give them the win there. So they got Kent State, Colorado State, Maryland, Penn State, Purdue. Northwestern is 6. Home versus Minnesota. I mean, they played Minnesota very, very, very well last year, destroyed them on the road. Minnesota had a lot of COVID problems that game, but still, I mean, that would give them 7 wins. Home versus Illinois is 8. And then can they get a road win? Can they get one win between on the road in Nebraska, home versus Indiana, at Iowa State, and or at Wisconsin? I think the answer is yes. But again, I can see this team being 8-4. So I'm going to pass on it, but I lean the over 8.5 here. At 8, I'm probably playing this because I think the bottom floor for this team is 7 wins at best. Like, I think they'd have to really screw up to get 7 wins. But I think their ceiling probably is 9. So I think it's one of those teams where you have a pretty good idea of where they're going to be.
Yeah, the next team to highlight, Minnesota. So I got burned by them last year a couple of times. I took them 1 week. They lost by 30. And then I faded them the next week, and they won by 30. Like, Tanner Morgan can play, man. Ibrahim, he's like one of the better backs in that conference. I don't know what they – like, dude, 2 years ago they averaged 35 points a game. You know, they had the Rashad Bateman was like their big receiver, if you remember that team. I don't know if like it was a COVID team or whatnot, but man, did they suck on defense last year.
Yeah, they got absolutely wrecked by COVID. They had at one point they were leading the country with COVID misses. Remember that game, they actually couldn't kick against Maryland, which I know they lost to Maryland in overtime. They actually couldn't kick in that game. They didn't have a kicker. Which is one of the reasons that they lost. I mean, they also got shelled, you know, they also got wrecked by Michigan. It was a very abnormal year, and honestly, just a year that I don't think you can put too much stock into.
Yeah, they were like the worst running team I think I've seen. They gave up 30 points a game. So I think they just have to be better. They're bringing back a good quarterback and a running back. Like, they should be in the running. They can trip somebody up. They had flashes last year, though. Like, but they overall, their defense blew.
They could not stop the run last year.
I think I like Northwestern better than Minnesota, but at least Minnesota has some offensive players that could make them interesting.
Well, they also returned 10 offensive starters and 10 defensive starters. So they returned 10 people on both sides of the ball. Their offensive line is as senior as it pretty much gets, with the exception of right tackle Daniel Faele, for he's a sophomore. The rest of their offensive line is junior, senior, junior, senior. I mean, they are very, very loaded there. They're replacing Rashad Bateman, obviously, who's the one offensive starter who's not returning. Dylan Wright is going to step into his role there. But, I mean, this is a good team. They're a couple years off being a great team. They were 3-4 last year. They had a ton of COVID issues. You just take a look at this. They opened the season home versus Ohio State Thursday. By the way, their win total, I forgot to say, is 7. So we're looking at 7 is the win total. Opened the season Ohio State on a Thursday night at home. Now they're 14-point dogs in that. I don't expect them to win that game, but I think they'll push Ohio State a little bit. Miami, they're facing Miami, Ohio at home. I think that's a win. I think Minnesota's still too talented for that team. On the road to Colorado, again, I think that's another win. Colorado's on the, you know, kind of the downslope. There's a very experienced Minnesota team. Then they're off, then home versus Bowling Green. That's going to be a win. So I'd say they start 3-1, to start the year in the non-conference schedule. Then after that, they start their conference schedule at Purdue, which is, you know, I think that might be a sneaky game, but I still think that Minnesota should win that one. They really should. Then they get a bye, home versus Nebraska and home versus Maryland. I'm telling you, Nebraska is going to be better this year. It just depends on where Nebraska is actually going to show up. Then after that, after the Maryland game, at Northwestern, home versus Illinois, and the final 3 games of the season are brutal: at Iowa, at Indiana, and Wisconsin. So they got that back-to-back roadie at Iowa, at Indiana. I don't think they win either of those games, to be perfectly honest with you. I'd say they have a win versus Miami, Ohio, win at Colorado, win versus Bowling Green. I'll give them the win at Purdue, even though I think that is still a questionable game, but Purdue's defense was terrible. I'm going to say they get tripped up by Nebraska. You know, fine. I'll give them the Nebraska win. That's five. I'll give them the Maryland. That's six. At Northwestern, I'll say they get tripped up. I think that somewhere along the lines they're going to get tripped up here. At Illinois, that's seven. I think at Indiana, at Iowa, they lose both of those. And home versus Wisconsin, I don't have a great exactly feeling for that. I think you're looking at best an eight-win team here, in my opinion. I think they'll be bowl. You know, they're bowling. Again, especially because of the non-conference schedule, they should get three wins out of that. But I just don't feel super confident in taking this team on the over. I think seven is literally the number. I think they're going to end up being a 7-5 team, and that's where we end up seeing Minnesota this year.
Yeah, I wouldn't touch that win total, but I think they could be good on offense. I don't know what they'll be on defense. I mentioned Northwestern. So, do you know they've won two of the last three Big Ten West division titles?
I do, yep.
And, you know, Pat Fitzgerald obviously has that team run. So, I was kind of looking into them a little bit. So, Hunter Johnson, I think, is back. Well, who did they have last year as their quarterback? Why am I playing?
So, Hunter Johnson, yeah, so they had they had a transfer from Peyton Ramsey was the transfer.
There you go, Peyton Ramsey. Yeah, now they're going to get Hunter Johnson.
Well, Hunter Johnson has always been there. Ryan Helinski transferred him from South Carolina. So that's going to be the competition. Now, I believe they named Hunter Johnson the starter. I don't know that for sure. I remember hearing something about Helinski missing out on the starting Joe. So I believe that Hunter Johnson was named the week one quarterback. So he won the job over Ryan Helinski, who was projected to be the starter when he transferred out in from South Carolina, which means I'm sure Helinski will take another red shirt and he'll transfer somewhere else again. You know, this Northwestern team, they were really good last year, Joe. 7-2 overall, 6-1 in the West. Obviously they played Ohio State in the championship there, but this year is just going to be – it's going to be a different year for them. They bring back four offensive starters and four defensive starters. I know that, you know, I'm a big fan of Pat Fitzgerald and what he's done there. And, you know, they're a really, really good team. Don't get me wrong, but
they can't be as good as last year.
I don't see it. And I know there are – Phil Steele is much higher on them than most people are. He thinks they're going to be a contender in the West this year. I don't think so. Win totals at 6.5, and I think if you look at this team, we'll go through the schedule here. I think they're in a little bit of trouble. They open home versus Michigan State, which I think is a win. I still think they're better than Michigan State,
yep.
More talented than them. And home against that team, I'll still give them the edge there. Home versus Indiana State, I think they get that win as well. Not exactly like that's a tough game, and at Duke, I think that's also a win. So I think they start 3-0. I think home versus Ohio and that MAC team, I know it's home game, but it's in the spot where they're looking ahead at Nebraska the next week, the start of their conference. I think that's a real true trip-up spot for Northwestern. I'm going to give them the win, but if you're talking about betting that, I would not touch Northwestern on the spread in that spot. That seems to be a spot to circle where they could lose that game, especially if Ohio looks good out of the gates. October 2nd on the road in Nebraska. I think they're going to lose that game. I think Nebraska is more talented than them. Then they get a bye week going into a home game versus Rutgers. I think they have a good chance to win that game, but I still think Rutgers is going to be better than they are and have more talent than they do. And and I think the coaching is going to matter there. Shiano is just, in my opinion, an elite coach. So I'm going to give the win to Rutgers. I know that might be controversial, but then on the road in Michigan the next week. So it's also technically a look-ahead spot. Home versus Minnesota and Iowa, then at Wisconsin, home versus Purdue in a neutral site game, and then at Illinois to finish the season. So let's say they beat Michigan State at Indiana State, Duke, and Ohio. That's four wins. I'm going to say lose to Nebraska, lose to Rutgers, lose at Michigan. I'd say they go 4-0, then go 0-3. Home versus Minnesota, I think that's a winnable game, but I don't feel great about it. Same with Iowa. I don't feel good about that one. Then on the road at Wisconsin, I think you're looking at winnable games. Remainder of the non-conference schedule are at Nebraska, home versus Rutgers, home versus Purdue, and at Illinois. And you're asking me, do I think that team is going to get three of those four? I don't think so. I think they end up at 6-6 this year. I think that's, in my opinion, that's fair. They've lost a lot of talent. Hunter Johnson really didn't show anything a couple of years ago at the quarterback spot. I wasn't really impressed by him. So, I mean, they have some depth with Helinski there, but they're just bringing in so much new talent. I just think that this is going to be a really big problem for Northwestern. So,
yeah, I think they get 6 wins because they'll get a bowl game. You know, like they'll teeter for the. Right now, I'd go under on that one. I'm not going to PP it, but I'm going under.
Yeah, I don't think it's PPable because I do think that Rutgers game is going to be, one where they could win. And then if they end up winning that Rutgers game, then they probably go over their win total. The other thing is that Ohio game. There's a lot of spots. The schedule isn't difficult per se, but it just feels like there's a lot of spots in that schedule where you're kind of feeling unsure about this Northwestern team, and it's one of those teams I think you're really going to have to wait and see on, what they can do with, 4 offensive returners and 4 defensive returners, and I just don't feel super confident that team is going to be a contender. So,
taking a look at Nebraska, who we'll see this weekend. Now, here's what I know about Nebraska. They brought in that running back from USC, Marquez Stepp.
Yep.
So he's going to be an addition for them. It's all about Martinez and what he does. I think their defense was fine last year. Like, it could be better, obviously. But what's Scott Frost, shit or get off the pot at this point. Fucking,
I mean, he might not even get to week one. They might fire him in the next couple of days.
But yeah, you might be right. They should be better on defense. You're gonna have to lean on that running game. Martinez is gonna have to play better. He played well 2 years ago. Like, I give everybody a pass for last year. I really do. So, like, can this kid bring it back? I fucking fade Nebraska at all costs. And, like, I don't know. I thought Frost was a good coach, man. Maybe Nebraska is just not what they used to be, you know? But in my opinion, man, like, they're a competitive team. They'll be in every game. I would just fade them. Fucking hard, I'd fade them. What are they, 6.5?
Yeah, 6.5 is the win total, and they just have such a brutal schedule, man. I mean, really, the number 10 schedule difficulty in the country. They return 7 offensive starters and 10 defensive starters. They should be better defensively. They allowed almost 30 points per game last year defensively. So, I mean, you're hoping for some defensive improvement, like really hoping for. You talked about Adrian Martinez. He was supposed to have Heisman consideration last year, didn't really do much. You're hoping that he takes that step forward this year. He showed it at times last year at Rutgers. That Penn State game was extremely impressive. You know, they were in that Ohio State game early, and it really got away from them late. But, you know, they were in that Iowa game. Like, you're hoping that this team takes that next step. The problem is the schedule, and the schedule is tough. The first 3 weeks of the season, it's really going to determine their season. They open at Illinois with that week 0 game, Joe. They are 7-point favorites at Illinois. So, I mean, you know, that is a game that they need to win if you're looking at their win total. So I'm going to give that to them. I think they win that game. Home versus Fordham and home versus Buffalo. We talked about Buffalo losing their coach, losing a lot of players to transfer. I think this team starts out 3-0, which is a great start. Week 4, they're on the road at Oklahoma. That's a loss. Then they're at Michigan State the next week. So back-to-back roadies, and including starting your conference schedule that way. Trap spot for them. That could be a loss to Michigan State, although I don't think it will be. But that could very well be a loss there. Home versus Northwestern, I do think, is a win. Home versus Michigan, man, that is a losable game, or a winnable game, but I still think it's going to be questionable. Then on the road at Minnesota. Then they have a bye week. Home versus Purdue and home versus Ohio State. So at least they get OSU at home this year. I think they beat Purdue. Then they get a bye week at Wisconsin and home versus Iowa to finish off the year. So, I mean, the conference schedule is just relentless, basically getting all the big boys. They should win at Illinois. They should win against Fordham and Buffalo. That should give them 3 wins. They should have a win versus Michigan State. They should have a win versus Purdue. That should give them 6. Northwestern, Michigan, Iowa, I think are there three other winnable games in the schedule. And I don't really think Iowa is super winnable, but I think, you know, it's home on a Friday night. It's very possible. So I think they get to seven, and I think they go bowling.
Oof.
But I think they're 7-5 this year, and I don't feel super confident in the over 6.5, but I do lean that way,
Yeah, man, can't put money on them. Purdue, Jeff Braun, three straight, had a really good year last year after a couple of losing seasons. But, dude, Jeff Braun, 27 points a game in 2020. Now they're going to lose their best player, obviously. But I love that dude's offense. Their defense is going to be their issue. They allow 20. They're an over team. When you see Purdue, just think over right off the bat. But, I just think that their offense will be competitive. What can their defense do? I really like what Braum has done. What's their win total?
Their win total this year is 5, and it's heavily juiced to the over.
I'm going over.
Really?
I'm going over here, Dan. I haven't even heard the schedule yet.
Are you PPing that?
Let's hear the schedule first.
Okay, they have the number 5 schedule difficulty in the country to start off. They return 9 offensive starters, 9 defensive starters. You and I are definitely going to disagree on this one. I think they're a good team. I think Jeff Braum is a good head coach, but it's his 5th year at Purdue. His best year so far was since he took over. He was 7-6 in 2017. 2018, he went 6-7. 2019, 4-8. And 2020, 2-4. And I got to tell you, while I like Braum as a coach, I just don't think that they've done a really good job with Purdue. I just don't think that this team has been a good team. Home versus Oregon State, at Connecticut, at Notre Dame, home, and so that's their non-conference schedule. Home versus Oregon State should be a win. I agree there. I think that Oregon State traveling to Purdue, that's a tough game for both sides. Oregon State, if that game's home, I like Oregon State. I like Purdue. I lean that way. I'll give it to Purdue. At UConn, that's a win. At Notre Dame, that's a loss. I would feel back-to-back roadies. I'd be stunned if they won that game. I don't think they have a prayer. Home versus Illinois, that's a win. So it's Oregon State, UConn, Illinois, that's 3 wins. Home versus Minnesota on homecoming night. Winnable game, don't feel great about it. I'd say that's a loss. Then they have a bye. They're at Iowa, that's a loss. Home versus Wisconsin, that's a loss. At Nebraska after Wisconsin, I think that's a loss.
Toss up, but yeah, you got it.
Then they're home versus Michigan State. I think that is a winnable game. I think that's a winnable game. Then they're on the road at Ohio State. Then they have a neutral site game versus Northwestern in Wrigley Field, which is basically a home game for Northwestern. So that's a loss, in my opinion. And they're home versus Indiana. And I don't think they're as talented as Indiana. Now, again, 5 wins. I look at Oregon State as a probable win. UConn is a probable win. Illinois is a probable win. I think that those are the 3 wins on their schedule. Look at and say, well, I think they got these 3 wrapped up. Home versus Michigan State's a winnable game, in my opinion. Home versus Minnesota is a winnable game, in my opinion. I think that so I think that it's possible they get to 5. I do. I just don't see a scenario where they get above 5. And I got to be honest with you, if they lose week 1 to Oregon State, this win total is over. I mean, it's going way under. In fact, I am very much inclined to PP the under on this one, Joe. I don't see a road that gets them to 6 wins. I don't.
Yeah, I just think they're on the rise, but schedule's tough, as you said. One of the worst in the country.
I just think they are on the rise. They return a lot of depth, and it's possible that they start the season 4-1. The problem is that back half of the schedule at Iowa, Wisconsin, at Nebraska, Michigan State, which is your one winnable game, it feels like, at Ohio State, basically on the road at Northwestern and home versus Indiana. I mean, just relentlessly getting the best of the best in that conference. It just doesn't feel like there's a lot of winnable games there. Now, they've performed well versus Ohio State. So, you know, that it is possible that, you know, they surprise some people and whatever. I just don't see it. I mean, they lost Northwestern last year. They lost on the road at Minnesota last year. They lost to Rutgers last year. They lost to Nebraska last year. And those are mostly home games. Like, I just don't feel very confident that this team is a competitor this year. And I feel pretty strongly about the under five. I'll probably wait on it a little bit, but I think that under five is the way you have to go there. So,
all right, let's look at Illinois under Brett Bielema. We'll see them this weekend as well. They haven't had a winning season since 2011. And Lovie Smith did all he could. I mean, they've had some signature wins, though. Like, they beat Wisconsin, as we remember. Like, they win these games. You have no fucking clue how they do it. Brandon Peters is there. He's a third-year starter, a quarterback. But they were not good offensively. And
they scored above 24 points last year one time, and that was at Nebraska where Peters just went off.
Yeah. So I know that their defense was fine because that's Lovie Smith's specialty, but they gave up 230 yards on the ground. That was last in the Big Ten overall. They gave up 35 points a game. Like, they fucking need help. So I'd project at 3 or 4 games.
So their win total this year is 3.5, Joe, which you're right on the money there. They bring back 9 offensive returning starters, 9 defensive starters. So, I mean, their defense should improve, to be honest with you. And again, at times last year, that defense was actually pretty good. It's offensively where they couldn't get anything going. They had 2 wins last year, road wins at Nebraska and a road win at Rutgers, which was a very close game. I would not feel confident saying that they would beat Rutgers last year. They also got decimated at Northwestern and Penn State from COVID. So, I mean, to be fair, it is kind of hard to, you know, say that, you know, this team got blown out. But, again, the schedule, especially the non-conference schedule, is not exactly kind to Illinois. They open the season with a week 0 game versus Nebraska at home. Nebraska is a 7-point favorite. I know they beat Nebraska last year. I don't think this is a win for them. I think that this is a loss to open the season. Brett Bielema, first year head coach, new system and everything. I don't see that as a win. I think that's a loss there. Home versus UTSA. I think this game is going to be a really good game. I do. I think that UTSA is a very talented team. Obviously on the rise. Illinois, hopefully with a little bit of better coaching, should be better, but I still don't chalk it up as a definite win. I'll give it to them, but I don't feel great about that at all. I think UTSA is going to give them problems. At Virginia on the road, that's a loss. I don't think Illinois is even though it's an ACC team, I just don't feel good about that. Home versus Maryland, I feel like, could be a win. It's a winnable game. I think I gave that one to Maryland, but I still think it's a winnable game. At Purdue, the other game we were just talking about there, it's a winnable game. I don't feel great about it, but it's winnable. And then home versus Charlotte, I think that's a win. Even though I like Will Healy and the program he's building there, that's a win. After that, you let me know where the win is. Home versus Wisconsin, at Penn State, home versus Rutgers. I guess that's the winnable game. At Minnesota, at Iowa, home versus Northwestern. So I'd say they've winnable games. Home versus Nebraska, home versus Rutgers, home versus Northwestern, home versus UTSA, home versus Maryland, home versus Charlotte. All their games are pretty much – they have to win at home. They have to be great at home this year. I just don't see them going – you know, they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 – I just don't see them going 4-2 in those winnable games. I think at best you're seeing a 3-3 split. I don't think they're going to win a road game this year, and if they do, it's probably at Purdue. I just don't feel comfortable with this team being an over team. I think this is an under team. I'm not going to PP it, but I still think that they're a 3-win team, and next year is the year where they kind of take off because they'll have a lot of returning starters next year still. A lot of redshirt guys who are still a year away. So I think that next year could be the year that they take off, especially defensively.
All right. So taking a look at all the teams here, obviously, I have Ohio State on one side, but who's it going to be on this side? I lean Wisconsin, although Iowa might have the best offense. And I just don't trust Northwestern or Minnesota. So could there be a sleeper? I want it to be Purdue, but their schedule is really bad.
Yeah, it's not Purdue.
And if there's a sleeper, you know, maybe Penn State could be a sleeper. I don't know.
Well, Penn State's on the other side of the conference.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, so I look at it. I'm going to go Wisconsin winning this, even though despite Iowa being really good. But Northwestern's been great. Everywhere I'm reading, dude, the surprise team is Minnesota. So they were down. And one other thing we should mention, the Big Ten just put into effect that any game that's canceled this year for COVID reasons is a forfeit.
Yeah, but that would also mean that the win total is done. So
true.
I'm going to say Ohio State wins the East. I don't think that's really much of a surprise there. I'm going to go with Wisconsin too, but man, I don't feel confident about it. I think if there is going to be a sleeper out of the West, it's going to be Nebraska. I think that that is the team that could surprise people. But I mean, right now with the pending investigation and everything kind of going on there, I just don't feel confident in really anything in the West right now. I'd say the most confident play I feel in the West is Purdue under 5. I don't see them on the rise. I actually see them, you know, kind of holding steady, and their schedule is just so brutal. Like, it doesn't feel like they're going to be able to really get anywhere with that schedule. So I think that's the biggest concern with me. I do think Wisconsin is the best team, and I do think that they will advance. But again, I don't feel super confident about that either. I still think Iowa could be a contender. And I think, I think Nebraska could come up, pull up there and be a contender as well. So,
all right, want to move on to the Big 12. Hook 'em horns.
Is there you want to start with Texas?
Well, no, I was going to say, I mean, you got to figure Oklahoma as well. So let's go.
I think we should start with Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, I mean, dude, they've won 6 Big 12 titles in a row. Lincoln Riley's, like, you know, got this team going with these off, you know, explosive offenses, and they averaged over 40 points a game. Like, they've done this every single year. So this is what I read a little bit, is that they're bringing a running back in named Eric Gray and a wide receiver named Mike Woods, and then they got Kennedy Brooks coming back from a year ago. Their issue's always been, defense. Yeah, dude, they had a hell of a lineman. That dude, Creed Humphrey, I think he was a first round pick, but that dude was good. Is Spencer Rattler going to be in the conversation for Heisman? Really, Dan? It comes down to what their schedule is. Now, Iowa State, they always have difficulties going there. I don't think they go there this year, right?
Nope, they're home.
There you go. So they always struggle against them. And then we know Texas will compete, but they're in a different team. TCU's been down. Oklahoma State's been good. Like, when you just look at it, they're like, West Virginia's probably down. Kansas State was down last year. Oh, my God. Baylor's might be better. Texas Tech's in disarray. And we know about fucking Kansas, right? Like, shit. The only team that I see competing at all is Iowa State. And to me, if Oklahoma's 11 wins, you might have to take the over.
So their win total is 11. They were 9-2 last year. They returned 7 offensive starters and 8 defensive starters. And the word around town from everyone who's talking about it is that Oklahoma's defense this year is going to be a top 10 defense. It's going to be even better than last year. Now, their defense had trouble at times last year, really did. Kansas State put up 38 on them. Texas put up 45 on them. Iowa State put up 37 on them. But as you see, their defense got gradually better. 14 at TCU, 28 at Texas Tech, which is a high-powered offense. 9 versus Kansas, 13 versus Oklahoma State, 14 versus Baylor, 21 versus Iowa State in the rematch, like in the Big 12 title. Their defense got better and better and better as the year went on, and I think that you're going to see even a more of a jump defensively this year. We obviously know about Spencer Rattler. He's projected to be a potential top 5 pick in the draft, which I would be surprised that if he didn't come out. But, I mean, you know, again, he's going to be obviously in the Heisman talk. You mentioned Kennedy Brooks. Mario Williams is the other guy, the wide receiver, who's very heavily touted as well. This team is just loaded. They have a ton of talent. In fact, they're so talented, Phil Steele has picked them to win their first national title since 2000 this year. As we talked about, their win total is 11. Here is their schedule. They start the season at Tulane. They're currently, I think, 27.5-point favorites at Tulane. Home versus Western Carolina, home versus Nebraska, and then they start their conference schedule home versus West Virginia. They're on the road at Kansas State this year, which is a revenge game from last year because they lost that game last year. So I think that this is a game that they're going to be focused on. However, the week afterwards is Texas in the Red River shootout.
Lookout game. Is it back-to-back roadies?
This is a neutral site game in Dallas. So
I wouldn't call that a
roadie, but it's definitely in Dallas. I'd say it's going to be a pretty good mixture of fans there. After Texas is TCU, and TCU is one where it feels like Oklahoma doesn't struggle, but Texas struggles. But Oklahoma does struggle with that Kansas State game. Then they're at Kansas, home versus Texas Tech, at Baylor, home versus Iowa State, at Oklahoma State. So those final two games wrap up the season.
So Baylor could be a difficult, like, depending on the spread to look at.
I think Baylor's down this year.
Well, with Iowa State on deck, I always look for those spots, you know. So, yeah, I think Iowa State is that's the one they're going to look ahead to. The Texas game, obviously. And they're going to have to take care of business against Kansas State. Like, they're going to have to fucking win that game and beat up on Texas. If they beat Texas, they're going to fucking roll. And then it's the Iowa State matchup, man. And that team stumped them the last couple of years. So, I do think Rattler is legit, though. Like, this is a front-running team. They get out. Dude, they'll go up 14-0 on a team or 21-0 on a team, and then their defense starts making big plays. Like, that's what that team is. But if they're in a game and, like, defense is there, they're scoring, the other team scores, like, any team's got a shot against them. But they're a front-running team, and if they get up early, that's their strategy. I think they can fucking roll through that schedule.
Yeah, they're projected to have a top 5, if not the number 1 offensive line in the country. They're projected to have a top 5 receiving core, if not the number 1 receiving core in the country. They're projected to have a top 10 defense. Spencer Rattler, hopefully with a year of experience, makes better decisions. We definitely saw him make better decisions than that in the Big 12 title game last year. They have an easy schedule to kind of ease their way into the season. Tulane, Western Carolina, Nebraska. I mean, again, just going through, Tulane's a win, Western Carolina's a win, Nebraska at home's a win, West Virginia's a win. I think that at Kansas State game is going to be their early test because the next week is Texas, and they'll probably be looking a little bit ahead to that game. So maybe don't take them to cover at Kansas State. I still think they get that done. It's a revenge game from last year. Texas, in my opinion, still overrated. Classic. Everyone loves Texas, and they're just not that good anymore. Home versus TCU, I don't think they'll have a problem with because it's not TCU. Texas at Kansas should be a win easily. Texas Tech is a win. I'd say that the Iowa State game is actually going to be a little bit easier. They have a bye before that Baylor game, so what they could focus in that bye week is on Iowa State. Then the week leading up to Baylor, they focus on Baylor. Then they kind of get back to Iowa State after that. So I don't think it's a true trap spot. The game I'm worried about for them, and the game that I think that they are going to drop, is at Oklahoma State November 27th. I think that's the game that they lose. Because if they do lose the game. Because first
of all, I just feel like Oklahoma State's down, don't you?
Yeah, well, they are, but they're still good. They're still a good team, and they're coming off a, you know, what is assuming, we're assuming in this scenario, a win home versus Iowa State that they've probably been focusing on. That's it. Then they have to go on the road. It's a trap spot at Oklahoma State. I do think, I don't think Oklahoma State is nearly as good as last year.
Yeah, Spencer Sanders is back. They could do something.
I'm just saying, you know, Oklahoma State has played them tough. At least they had until last year, where they decimated Oklahoma State. But Oklahoma State has played them tough in games, you know. And so, especially 17-18, they beat them 62-52 and 48-47. So, I mean, those were close games. And I know that, you know, they've lost to Kansas State now 2 years in a row. So that is the team that is really going to be you know, that's really going to be a big focus, especially early on in the season. I think 11 is the win total. I think they get 11 wins. I think they're going to get tripped up one spot, whether that it's the Iowa State game, the Oklahoma State game, the Kansas State game. I think it's one of those three. I just don't love it. I just don't love playing the win total. But I do think that this is a team that, you know, is going to be, in my opinion, there's five national contenders this year that are really, really serious. Oklahoma's one of that, you know, in that group of five, and I think they might be the best team of that group of five. So I think Oklahoma is in the is at least in the playoff this year. So if you want to play the over based on that, I do understand. I'm personally not going to, but I do think that this team is going to be really, really good this year. It just depends on how good and how healthy they stay, in my opinion. That really is going to be the bottom line. So,
all right, let's look at Iowa State. Well, they're coming off like their best year. One of their highest rankings. They had a chance. Remember at the end of the year, they were like in the college football playoff, like, you know, in the top, whatever it was, 9 or 5, whatever it was. But, dude, their offense is back. 32 points a game, Brock Purdy. They got Breece Hall. Like, they got all the guys back on offense. So they averaged 6.8 yards per snap last year. But, you know, their offense is loaded. But, you know, from what I've read about this too, is they're higher on their defense this year than their offense. And, I mean, this play, that is such a fucking tough place to play. Like, I've seen so many teams go into that fucking place and lose, Iowa in particular. I think they're going to be fine on offense, man. I always worry about their defense, but they're skilled, man. They are fucking skilled. Again, can they score 40 points a game? I don't think so. That's why I like Oklahoma to win this, but Oklahoma State's going to be, they're going to be in, fucking barking down their neck all year long, man. So what's the win total? 10?
Their win total is 9.5, which is where you'd expect it to be with the schedule. they bring back 11 offensive starters and 9 defensive starters, Joe. So, I mean, this is going to be a very, very experienced Iowa State team. I know that technically, I think they're giving them 11 offensive starters returning. I know that technically they have one who wasn't full-time starter, but he was by the end of the year. So, I mean, again, pretty much 11. They pretty much are returning everyone for the most part, which is, you know, another year of experience, another year in Matt Campbell's system. They're going to be a really, really, really difficult team to beat. They open their schedule home versus Northern Iowa. That's a win. Home versus Iowa, dude. I think Iowa's a really good team, and we talked about it. I think Iowa State wins that game. I just think that's going to be a really competitive game to watch and really a really good early season non-conference tilt between two kind of rivals in Iowa State and Iowa. Excuse me. I think that's going to be a really awesome game to watch, especially since it's in Ames. And Ames is a tough place to play, as you said. Then they are at UNLV and at Baylor to kind of start the season there. And I got to tell you, back-to-back roadies for Power Fives is tough. UNLV, they are going to completely overlook for Baylor, completely. And UNLV won't win that game. But circle that as a potential spot that UNLV actually covers, because they are going to be coming off Iowa, looking ahead to Baylor on the road a week for really their first conference game. Excuse me. To me, that is such a clear spot where they're going to be in an ability to, I think, win that game or not cover that game, UNLV. But I think that UNLV will cover that game. And Iowa State will probably struggle a little bit. And then they start with their conference schedule at Baylor, home versus Kansas. Then they have a bye week. They are on the road at Kansas State, home versus Oklahoma State, at West Virginia, which we know is a tough place to play, home versus Texas, at Texas Tech, and at Oklahoma back-to-back. So the schedule makers fucked Matt Campbell and the Cyclones there, absolutely without a doubt, and at home versus TCU. It just feels like this team has such a ridiculously tough schedule this year. And I know their schedule difficulty is only number 29, and that's because, you know, their first three games, Iowa's tough, Northern Iowa and UNLV should be a cakewalk. But, my God, at Baylor, at Kansas State, home versus Oklahoma State, at West Virginia, home versus Texas, at Texas Tech on a look-ahead spot to at Oklahoma, and home versus TCU. Like, they don't catch a damn break with the exception of Kansas. This is just a really, really tough schedule for me. I'm going to give them home versus Northern Iowa. I'm going to give them the Iowa game. I'm going to give them the UNLV game. I'm going to give them the Baylor game too. I think I'm going to go against my back-to-back roadies for Power Fives and give them both those. I'm going to give them the home win versus Kansas. I'm going to give them the home win or the road win versus Kansas State. I'm going to give them Oklahoma State. I got them 7-0 right now. I think they lose at West Virginia. I think that is a really going into Morgantown is extremely tough place to play. And I think they finally get caught there. So I think they lose to West Virginia. I think they beat Texas. They rebound. Then they beat Texas Tech, but it ain't going to be that nice. So I think I have them at 8-1, 9-1 with Texas Tech. They lose at Oklahoma. They beat TCU. I think you're looking at a ceiling of 11 wins. I don't think that they're going to be 11-1. I think the only game they're not going to be favored in is that Oklahoma game. And I think they're going to drop one other game. I think I would go over the 9.5 here, but I don't love it. But I think over 9.5 is the right side. They bring back a ton on the offense, a ton on the defense. The team's improved. The schedule is not crazy hard. They get the double back-to-backs, which is concerning, which is why I'm not PPing, because they get the double road back-to-backs. But I feel very confident this team will be really good. I think 10-2 is where they end up finishing. I think
I'd go over two, but you're gonna like sweat it out, you know.
Yeah, this is not gonna be an easy one, which is why I'm not gonna play it. So
you know, how about the Texas Tom Herman era? Oh, Steve Sarkisian, dude. Uh oh. So I'm not a Sark guy.
Okay.
So I'm already fading them. But Bijan Robinson, dude. Woo, look out, big boy. Duke can run. Dude, they averaged like 40 points a game last year. Like, their defense struggled. They gave up 32 points. That's their issue with me. All right, I haven't seen this yet. Sark's going to score. They're going to score. Oh, by the way, I love the kid Card. I watched him play when Ellinger got hurt last year. But it sounds like they might not go with him, and I actually like that kid. What's his name? That Card.
Yeah, it's Hudson Card and Casey Thompson are the two guys who are competing right now.
So I don't know who they're going to go with. I liked Card when he played. He's small. But so I'm going to say 8.5.
Their win total this year right now is at 8.
Fucking fade. You know what? Let's go over the schedule. Right now, I have one chip that says under. We'll see if I double on it. Let's see what we got here.
Okay, so they return
8. I got 1P down, Dan.
Okay, 1P down. They return 8 offensive starters, 7 defensive starters. Okay, so they should be better defensively, but it's Sark's system. So the system may change things a little bit, which is, you know, that makes it tough. that it's going to be, you know, that it's going to be a little bit different. They return every single starter except for Ellinger from the bowl. But the problem is they were missing 10 starters in that game. So yeah, it's kind of hard to understand. But that bowl game last year, Joe, that bowl game, I mean, they did, you know, get the shit. They did kick the shit out of Colorado. I mean, 55-23, whatever, the easy win. But again, Colorado had a lot of players out there. Again, it's hard to take anything from that game, but they are returning at least a lot of starters from the bowl game, if you want to take a look that way. I think that they'll probably end up going with Casey Thompson because he's more experienced. But I think they right now it's you read the reports and it says, you know, from 7 hours ago, it's a deadlock. There's absolutely no not ready to announce a starter. It's a deadlock. Here's the schedule. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to be on the under in this one, I think, with you. I haven't looked at the schedule. I'm just guessing. Home versus Louisiana Lafayette.
Ooh.
Which is no longer Lafayette.
They should win. Like, they should win, but that's a fucking tough game.
Remember, let's not forget Iowa State, who they lose to last year at the beginning of the season.
That's right. That's right.
They lost to a really, really good, you know, they lost to a really, really good Fun Belt team. So, I mean, Lafayette is going to have their chances. They are a 10-point. They open as a 9.5-point favorite. That's down to 8. They actually got up to 10. And now it's down to 8. Then they are at Arkansas, which is, again, Arkansas won't be as good maybe as they were a couple years ago. But on the road in an SEC team, then they're home versus Rice, who supposedly improved this year. It's like they did absolutely no favors with the non-conference schedule. Number 11 schedule difficulty in the country. They open their conference schedule home versus Texas Tech. That's a win. Second week, they're at TCU, which is a sandwich spot between Texas Tech and Oklahoma. So you know what that means. That TCU week, they're probably going to prep, but they're already going to be looking ahead to Oklahoma. I think they're going to lose to TCU again. They lost 31-33 last year. They lost 27-37 the year before. They lost 24-7 in 2017, and they lost 31-9 in 2016. They are 1-4 against TCU in their last five games. And I know, different coach, new system. I still feel good about saying that TCU and Gary Patterson are going to be ready for this Texas team. And I'm going to give TCU that win. I'm going to say Texas loses that game. Then they're on a neutral site in the Red River Shootout versus Oklahoma. That's a loss. Home versus Oklahoma State, tough game. Then they get a bye in the Baylor, but that's on the road, and it's back-to-back roadies, Baylor and Iowa State. Then they're home versus Kansas at West Virginia and home versus Kansas State to finish out the year, and they crushed Kansas State last year. I mean, crushed them, but man, is this a tough fucking schedule, dude. I mean, really, there's not a lot of gimmies on the schedule. I think Rice is a gimme. I think Texas Tech is a gimme. I think Kansas is a gimme. I think Kansas State is a gimme. I think you get four gimme games there, and Kansas State's probably going too far on a limb to say it's a gimme, but it should be. Even if I give them Louisiana Lafayette, let's say that's five. That's five wins right there. So they get three wins from on the road at Arkansas, home versus on the road at TCU, home versus Oklahoma, or neutral side versus Oklahoma, home versus Oklahoma State at Baylor and at Iowa and at West Virginia. And I think they probably get three, but I think under 8 is the right side of this total. I just don't think first team, you know, first year coach, quarterback is a question mark still. You know, Sark is a really, really good coach. I disagree. I think Sark is a really good coach. I don't see 8 wins for them. I'm not going to PP it because I think Sark can kind of come out there and you know, change things up and whatever, and you know, maybe get off the schneid with TCU. But man, I do not feel confident about that at all.
I agree. I'd fade them. Texas is a fade, especially first year head coach too. We should throw that
First year.
All right. So tell me about TCU. I know they won 5 out of the last 6 last year. Gary Patterson obviously is a good coach. Max Duggan, that's your guy.
Max
Duggan. Last year, they decent receivers. Obviously, Dugan's going to be the big case. He's going to have a breakout year, if you ask me. And their defense is always pretty good. Last year, they gave up 24 points per game, but it's hard to, like, put a lot of stuff into the stock into last season. The more I look at them, can this kid Duggan put them over the top? Like, can they keep up with those other teams offensively? I don't know, man. So, I want to, was it 7, 6.5?
They are, excuse me, I lost my page. They are 6.5, and the over is heavily, heavily juiced.
So,
sorry, 7.5. Excuse me, 7.5.
I can't see 8 wins out of them.
Okay, so let's talk about it. They returned 10 offensive starters, 8 defensive starters, okay? I mean, obviously, they're going to be better offensively than they were last year. They are. The one returning starter they don't have is the left tackle. They are bringing in Obina Easy Jr. to be their left tackle. And let's take a look at their schedule, what they did last year. I know it doesn't matter too much, but again, offensively, you'll see the progression. 34 versus Iowa State, 33 versus Texas. Then they drop off to 14 versus Kansas State, 14 versus Oklahoma. And here you go. 33 at Baylor, 34 versus Texas Tech, 6 at West Virginia. If you remember that game, that was the game that West Virginia's defensively is very good. 59 at Kansas, 29 at Oklahoma State, and 52 versus Louisiana Tech. They didn't play a bowl game. So, I mean, you know, they got their offense got significantly better. In my opinion, they have 5 road games this year, which is really, really, really a problem. Like, really, really a problem. I think this is a really experienced team, and I think they are very, very talented, Joe. Very talented. Like, I think this is probably maybe Gary Patterson's best team ever. The problem is the schedule. And number 33 schedule on the schedule difficulty this year. You know, again, you're seeing a lot of these Power 5 teams just get these brutal schedules. They start with Duquesne at home, which is a win. Then they're home versus Cal. Cal is a very sneaky Pac-12 team. I still don't think Pac-12 good versus the Big 12 on the road. I think that's going to be a struggle for them. I think TCU gets that win. So I'm going to say 2-0. Then they get a bye. They get SMU week 3. SMU's good, but losing Shane Buechele, facing a very, very talented team. I'm going to say TCU starts 3-0. Home versus Texas, I told you, I'm calling TCU getting that win. That's 4-0. On the road at Texas Tech and on the road at Oklahoma. I think they win Tech. They beat that team.
Yeah, they could start 5-1 or 4-2. That's still good.
I think they start 5-1. West Virginia at home, I like them at home because they get them at home. If it was on the road, I'd be very concerned. I think West Virginia at home, they should be able to beat them. I think they go 6-1. At Kansas State, I'm going to say they lose that game. 6-2. Home versus Baylor, I think is a toss-up game, but I'm going to give it to them. 7-2. At Oklahoma State, they beat this team last year. I'm going to say that's a loss. Home versus Kansas, that's a win. That's 8 wins right there. And then at Iowa State. But I got to tell you, I don't feel super confident because it requires basically beating Texas, beating Cal, and beating West Virginia and Baylor all at home. Like, they got to win all their home games in order to do this. And, you know, I don't feel super confident in that. I definitely lean to the over. But again, another total I don't feel confident. I think this team is 8-4 down here. I think they're 8-4, and they do think they go over. But again, not something I'm super, super confident in.
Yeah, and you've talked about West Virginia a couple times now. I mean, their offense got better. I don't really remember much about them last year.
They were
a Jared Doggy, is that his name?
Yeah, Doggy.
God.
Jared Doggy. He was, I got to be honest, I was not really impressed with them. I thought they would bring in a legitimate transfer, and
and see what they can do. Because remember, if you remember, Austin Kendall was there too. He was the grad transfer from Oklahoma and Bowling Green, and then Doji beat him out. So I honestly didn't think that he was really that good. And it looks like Garrett Green's going to be the backup. He said that he was better than his numbers last year. I don't know how I feel about that. I think they have maybe the second best defense in the conference. Six wins, you know, seven wins for this team. The win total this year, Joe, which in my opinion is a bit surprising, is seven. So, you know, seven wins. They were 6-4 last year. Nine offensive starters, eight defensive starters. They should still be very, very good defensively. I think they were like number 10 in the country or something like that, but they lost their number one tackler, Darius Stills. They're still going to have a fantastic defense, though. Here's their schedule. At Maryland to start week one. I know Maryland on the road, Big Ten. I'm taking West Virginia to win that game. I think Maryland sucks. So I'm taking West Virginia there. Home versus Long Island, that's a win. Home versus Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech's a very talented ACC team. But again, ACC, down conference to me, in a tough place to play like Morgantown, I'm taking West Virginia. So I have them starting 3-0. Then they're on the road at Oklahoma, that's a loss. Home versus Texas Tech, that's a win, and they have them 4-1. At Baylor, that's a loss. I have them 4-2, then a bye. On the road at TCU, I'm going to give that to TCU 4-3. Home versus Iowa State and Oklahoma State. I say they split those. I think they beat Oklahoma State and they lose to Iowa State, so 5 wins. At Kansas State, I don't feel great about that one either. I'd say that's a loss. Home versus Texas, I think that's a win. And at Kansas, I think that's a win. So I think they're getting 7. I think the number is right dead on. I think they're getting 6 or 7 wins this year. They're going bowling again, but I don't feel great about it. So they beat Army in the bowl last year, by the way, 24-21. So whatever that means.
Ooh, the back end of this. You know, you hope West Virginia, and then all of a sudden you see Kansas State.
I mean, it's
who did beat Oklahoma last year. So we got to keep that in mind.
Again, that game was crazy. Remember, Oklahoma was up by like 21 or something in the fourth quarter, and they lost that game. So it was super fluky the way that they lost that game. But again, West Virginia's final six games of the schedule. At TCU, home versus Iowa State, home versus Oklahoma State, at Kansas State, home versus Texas, and then at Kansas. There's some winnable games there for sure. Kansas should be an automatic win, but I mean, the rest of those games are very much up in the air. And if you have a bad year, have some close losses, it's just not worth it, in my opinion, to play that.
So the only thing I really know about Kansas State is that nasty running back that they had, Deuce Vaughn. They beat Oklahoma. Skylar Thompson, I know, was injured. He's going to be back. They were decimated with COVID last year as well. Usually you think Kansas State bounces back, but this conference is too tough, man. They're going to be cellar dwellers to me, man.
I think that they're bringing back 10 offensive starters, so offensively they should be very, very good. The only non-starter they're bringing back is Daniel. Oh my God, I can't pronounce his name. Ima Torbehibe. Brutal name. That's a brutal name. But anyways, they should be very talented offensively again. Returning 6 defensive starters. That was their issue last year. They gave up a lot of points. 35 to Arkansas State. Remember, you talked about that, Arkansas State. Another Fun Belt team that beat them early in the season. 35 to Oklahoma. They at least won that game. Then they gave up 37 at West Virginia. 20 to Oklahoma State, 45 to nothing at Iowa, 32 to Baylor, and 69 to Texas. So the defense progressively got worse as the COVID issues got worse and worse. I don't think they're going to be great defensively. Return 6 starters. They're okay. They're not great. They actually lost the bowl game to Navy last year, if you remember that too.
when, or sorry, 2 years ago when they played in 2019, they lost that bowl game to Navy.
Their schedule this year, again, number six schedule in the country, doesn't do them any fucking favors at all. And their win total is 5.5. So here's their schedule. Home versus Stanford, I think that's a win. I think there's too much offense for Stanford. I think that's a win. I think they were a 2-point dog to open that game, and now they're a 2.5-point favorite. So Stanford, Southern Illinois should be a win. Home versus Nevada is going to be a really interesting game because Nevada can step with them offensively.
Yep.
That's going to be an over game. You want to talk about a game in the circle for an over. Nevada, Kansas State, September 18th. Oh, boy, there's going to be a lot of points in that one, like a lot of points. Then they start their conference schedule at Oklahoma State and then home versus Oklahoma. I'm going to say they go 0-2 there. I'm going to give them the Nevada one. I'm going to say they go 3-0 to start. They lose those two. Home versus Iowa State, that's a loss. Even coming off a bye, still a loss. I think they're 3-3. At Texas Tech, I'll give them that win. That's 4-3. Home versus TCU, I think that's a loss. I really do think that's a loss. It's a winnable game, though, at least. So five there. At Kansas, that's a win. Home versus West Virginia, home versus Baylor, and at Texas. So they have a lot of winnable games. I think that early game versus Nevada is going to matter for their win total. And that Stanford and Nevada probably determine the win total because this team probably gets four conference wins. I can see Texas Tech, Kansas, and then two of TCU, West Virginia, Baylor, and Texas. I can see four wins of that group. I really can. Or sorry, two wins of that group to go along with Texas Tech and Kansas. So I think they get four conference wins. I think they beat Stanford. I think they may lose to Nevada, dude. I think if they don't beat Nevada and Stanford, I think their win total is going under. I would lean that way. I do lean under. But their offense is going to be so good, though.
What's Baylor's win total? Because they suck. They went 2-7. They have turmoil all over their fucking team. Coaches. They get some talent at receiver. They're probably going with a freshman quarterback. Their offense averaged 23 points a game last year. They're cellar dwellers. They're not good. Now, the report says that their defense could be better this year. They have 9 starters back. They could take a step forward, blah, 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 yep. But, like, the top is so top-heavy, like, I don't know. I think they need a quarterback, and I think they just need to, like, develop a kid that maybe can make them better in a year or two, you know what I'm saying? They have so many issues. Dude, they had COVID issues last year how many times? Like, they fucking – their coaching situation with Rule leaving, they're a fucking mess. But last year was their mess season, right? So let's see what I would fade. No matter what the number is, fade, fade, fade.
So the number is 5.5, which is definitely
they're not winning six games. They're not winning six games.
Well, I mean, okay, so see, they bring back 7 offensive starters, 10 defensive starters, quarterback Charlie Brewer, transferred to Utah. They're going to be between Zeno and Bohannon, I believe, are the two guys who are doing that. I'll see if I can find an update on their starting quarterback here while I do a quick.
I read it could be this freshman kid.
Bones. They just named Jerry Bohannon the starting quarterback yesterday. Right. Yeah, so I saw some news yesterday. I didn't know who had won. So, yeah, so they named a starting quarterback yesterday is going to be Jerry Bohannon, who was the projected starter for this team. So they do bring back 7 offensive starters, which is – it's something. You read about them, and this team struggled badly on the road last year. They should be, I think. Dave Aranda's a really good head coach here. It sounds like their defense is going to be better. 10 returning defensive starters, like they should be better defensively. Their non-conference schedule is nice. It benefits them as well. So at Texas State, the start of the year, that's a win. I know Texas State is slightly better, but Texas State is a win. Texas Southern is a win. So you start 2-0 at Kansas. That's a win. They, in my opinion, they're starting 3-0
this year. Yeah, that's true.
Yep. Home versus Iowa State's a loss. At Oklahoma State's a loss. So I think they're 3-2. Home versus West Virginia, I still think is a loss. I think they're still quarterback is going to struggle versus that West Virginia defense. And then they have BYU. So I think they're going to go from 3-0. I think they're going to go to 3-4. I think they lose that Texas game as well. I think they're 3-5. At TCU, they're 3-6. Home versus Oklahoma, 3-7. At Kansas State, 3-8. Texas Tech, home, 4-8. Do I see two other wins in the schedule?
No.
I don't.
So PPP, Baylor under.
So there you go. Joe's PP, Baylor under. I agree. I'm not going to PP, and that's minus 120 there, Joe. Just a heads up. So, I mean, I feel pretty good about that too, Joe. I don't see a six win on the schedule for them. I don't see that. I Texas State, Texas Southern, Kansas, you should be 3-0 there. Three other winnable games. I mean, I guess BYU is a winnable game. I don't love that. Even it's home, I still don't love that. I don't love West Virginia at home with that defense. I don't love that. I don't love Texas at home. I don't love that. Texas Tech, I agree. Kansas State on the road, maybe. They would have to take a pretty big jump to get six wins here, just from their schedule. So
they won two games last year.
Yeah, I don't see it, man. I don't see that.
The team I think that could be good is Texas Tech, or at least improve. Matt Wells has done a nice job there. They're obviously losing their quarterback, but they're getting Tyler Shaw, who obviously is highly recruited. I mean, he could be based off what we've seen, he was projected to be a first-round pick at some point. We know that they can score. We know that they're – now, last year they kind of sucked, but again, last year, how much can you put into all this stuff? But, you know, per play, they're going to put up numbers is what I think. Their defense, right? Their defense, they ranked ninth in the Big 12 in rush defense last year, eighth in pass efficiency. They gave up 37 points a game. That's a problem.
It is.
If you're not scoring 30, you can't give up 37.
Yeah, I mean, they've always had problems with defense. That has always been their thing. Tyler Shaw transferring in is huge for that team, though. Huge. I mean, especially offensively, we're talking about a potential top 10 pick, you know, coming in from Oregon. Like, that is, yeah. You go from Alan Bowman to Tyler Shaw. I mean, like,
and I actually like Bowman early on in his career. But yeah, this is a major upgrade.
Yeah, I mean, the talent disparity is huge, and I know that they're talking about, Columbi battling Tyler Shaw. I don't think so, man. I mean, in my opinion, that is Columbi is the second is the backup there, and Shaw is the starter. Like, I don't really think it's very close. The team returns 8 offensive starters, but they get an upgraded quarterback, so you really could argue 9. And then 8 defensive starters they bring back. So you're hoping they get a little bit better defensively, right? Like, you really are. Their defense should be better. I do think their defense is going to be better. Like, they're not going to be this team that gives up, 40 to 50 every week like they were a couple years ago. I mean, let's not forget, like, they gave up 33 to Houston Baptist to open the season last year. It was tough. It was very tough, and it didn't look good for them. But yeah, I mean, look, the stuff that's going on with them, their schedule looks pretty damn good here, dude. They, at least to start, it gets tougher as we go, but to start off the season, they should be okay. And their win total is nothing crazy. 5.5 is their win total. They open against home versus Houston. It's a neutral site game in NRG Stadium. They are currently a 1-point favorite in that game, I believe. I think that's a toss-up game. It could go either way. I think I'd probably slightly lean Houston, but again, Tyler Show, I think maybe turns the tie a little bit. Actually, I'd probably lean Texas Tech a little bit, but again, this is just in my mind. I think it's a complete toss up game. You can go either way. Second week they have SF Austin. That should be a win. Then Florida International, and I'm very high on Florida International this year, but I still think home versus Texas Tech, that's a win for Texas Tech. So I think at worst, they're starting 2-1, maybe 3-0. Then they're on the road back-to-back to Texas and West Virginia. I think they're losing both of those. So I have that two wins right now. TCU at home, I don't feel good about that win. I think that's a loss for them because I think TCU – I think that's an air raid battle, and I think TCU is a better defense than they do and a better offense than they do, and I still think that's a loss. So I'm going to say that's a loss. Home versus Kansas, that's a win. And then this is a sneaky one. Home versus Kansas State – or sorry, at Kansas is a win. Then home versus Kansas State, I think that's a win as well. Kansas State, bad defense this year. It's going to be an over game, a lot of offense in that one. I'd say Texas Tech has the better defense. I'll give that one to Texas Tech. Then at Oklahoma, that's a loss. By Iowa State at home, Oklahoma State at home, and then Baylor. So I think Baylor could be your fifth winnable game there, or your fifth win there. And I think it all comes down to the Houston game. If they beat Houston, they start 3-0, and I think they hit their win total. If they don't beat Houston, I think they're going under. So I think the Houston game really determines their entire season on the win total. I think you're better off betting that game and determining who you like in that game. If you like the under, take Houston. If you like the over, take Texas Tech. Like I think that's, in my opinion, really that simple. Instead of, you know, waiting all these weeks. If you like the over, you have a better chance. Of playing against the win total, playing the over 5.5 because you have a chance to upset someone. But if you like the under, I think that you should just play Houston and just call it a day. That's my opinion. So there you go.
And then finally, God, does Kansas suck. Their program's in disarray. They finished at the bottom for year.
We actually skipped the team if you want to go back first. We skipped Oklahoma State.
Oh, shit, we did.
Yes, we did. So quickly to go over Oklahoma State, because I know we want to move on eventually. Their win total is 8 this year, Joe. They lost a lot of talent, especially
Spencer Sanders, Chubba Hubbard in the NFL now. But Spencer Sanders is good. And, dude, you think about it, their losses last year, Texas in overtime, TCU, right? Those are all, like, at the end of the game, so – They were definitely battle tested. They averaged 28 points a game. Their line could be better, but you're right, decimated as far as talent. But I think Spencer Sanders is pretty good. I think they're better than some of the other teams we've discussed. Maybe them and TCU will battle it out with Texas for that third spot.
I mean, five offensive returning starters, 8 defensive returning starters. They did win their bowl game last year versus Miami, 37-34 as well. So really 9-3 last year, 6-3 in conference. They were, they were a really good team, as you just kind of talked about, very battle tested, but they've lost a lot offensively. And I think that they're actually going to be more of a defensive team than an offensive team this year, which is going to be a big difference from what they have been in the past. Obviously Chubba Hubbard was missing at times and he was injured at times and Sanders had missed time with injury. And, you know, they had to do a lot of changes. Like Shane Illingworth got some legitimate time at quarterback last year, if you remember. So, I mean, this is a team that brings back, four or three of the five starters on offensive line. They don't bring back a ton of the rest of the guys on the offense, though. So quarterback is really important to bring back at the very least. So they have a quarterback in the offensive line. Here's their schedule. And again, another tough schedule this year, ranked number 17 in the country. Home versus Missouri State, that's a win. Home versus Tulsa. Tulsa might give them a tough time. They almost lost to Tulsa last year, actually, if you remember that game. I know they won 16-7, but that score is very misleading to what actually happened in that game. So I think they start 2-0, Then they're at Boise State, Joe. How do you feel about Oklahoma State going to the Smurf Turf at Boise State? I think that's a loss.
I would say that's a loss, but if it was last year's team, I think they'd win.
Yeah, me too, but I think that we're looking at this year's team, this year's talent. I think that's a loss. I feel good about the next week at Kansas State. That's a win. Home versus Baylor, I think that's a win. So I think I have them right now going 4-1 to start the season. This is where things get tough, as they always do. Back-to-back roadies at Texas and at Iowa State. I think they will beat Texas, but the problem is that's a look-ahead game. Really a look-ahead game, the Iowa State on the road. I think it's very possible they go 0-2 there. It really is. In fact, I'm going to call it 0-2 just for the sake of this this discussion. Home versus Kansas, that's a win. On the road at West Virginia, I think that's a loss. Morgantown, tough place to play. Home versus TCU, that's a win, in my opinion. Home versus Texas Tech, that's a win. Home versus Oklahoma, that's a loss. So I got the Missouri State, Tulsa, Kansas State, Baylor, Kansas, TCU, Texas Tech. I got them at 7 wins. I think 8 is possible, but I don't see it. I think they're a good defensive team. They would have to beat one of Boise State, Texas on the road, West Virginia on the road, or Iowa State on the road to get that 8th win and not lose any of the home games that I mentioned earlier. I feel pretty good about that. In fact, you know what? I'm going to PP that. I'm going to PP Oklahoma State under 8. I think at best, I think we're seeing 8 games at best. At absolute best, that's -120 as well. So I'm going to go Oklahoma State under 8. I just don't think that that team gets to 8 wins. Not in this conference. This conference is very competitive this year. I just don't see it, and there's just not enough continuity on that team.
All right, and do you really want to look at Kansas? Because they suck.
Quickly, let's do Kansas. Their win total is 1, okay? Their win total is 1. They open up season home versus South Dakota. They should win that game, Joe.
Oh, I don't know. South Dakota is usually – well, that's North Dakota, sorry.
They should win that game. They should win that game. And then really you're free-rolling. So if you think that – if you like Kansas in that game, taking the over 1 really is not the worst idea in the world, because then you're pretty much free-rolling the rest of the time. The rest of their schedule goes at Coastal Carolina, where – one of my buddies thinks that Kansas is going to be Coastal Carolina. I don't think so. I don't think that's happening. Home versus Baylor. It's a winnable game, I guess. At Duke, I think, is a very winnable game for them. If you want to talk about their second win, I think it's at Duke. At Iowa State's a loss. Those are back-to-back roadies, however, and that might be a look-ahead game at Iowa State, so who knows. Home versus Texas Tech, I think that is a winnable game. I don't think they will win, but I think it's a winnable game. Home versus Oklahoma, at Oklahoma State, home versus Kansas State, at Texas, at TCU, home versus West Virginia. So I don't think they're winning any of those games, maybe Texas Tech. I see South Dakota, Baylor, at Duke, and Texas Tech as the winnable games on the schedule. I think they get 2 wins. And then they get 2. And then they get 2 wins this year. Lance Leopold is a really good coach. They should... I think they may have a chance at a Big 12 game, but I think they need to go 2-0 versus South Dakota and Duke to cash that over, which is why I'm not going to play it. But I do think they get at least 1 win.
All right, dude. Well, after all that, I got Oklahoma and I got Iowa State as my 2 teams. That's all I got.
By the way, you want to hear some interesting breaking news that we got?
Yeah.
The Celtics have agreed to a 1-year extension with Josh Richardson. I guess that is for $13 million.
It's fucking stupid.
Interesting. I hate
everything about this.
I'm very confused. They want a bunch of mid-level contracts, it seems very much so. Like, they just want a bunch of mid-level contracts. Very, very, very confusing to me. Big 12, Joe. Who do you have in your championship game in the Big 12? I think we can all I think we both agree that Oklahoma is going to be there. Who's your other team in the Big 12 championship?
It's Iowa State.
Agreed. Unfortunately, it's chalk. It's Oklahoma. It's Iowa State. Who do you have winning the Big 12, Joe?
Oklahoma.
I think I'll go Oklahoma, but I don't feel super right about that. I think it'll be Oklahoma though. Iowa State though, neutral site game, Matt Campbell, it's possible, man. It really is. Okay, let's get to the final conference, Joe. The big boys. For we're hour 34 in. Let's bang this out. The SEC, Joe.
Oh, baby.
So
Alabama. Whoa, Nelly. I'm Keith Jackson. And the football team from Alabama with a sophomore quarterback. The SEC preview. Blah, 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 blah.
So it's, do you want to start?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I went on a little rant there.
Do you want to start west or east?
Yeah, let's go west.
Okay, then let's start with Alabama because I think that that's only fair. All right, Alabama, 13-0 last year, beat Ohio State in the championship, coming off another championship for Nick Saban. 13-0, as I said, they're returning three offensive starters this year. Three. They're returning eight defensive starters, but just three offensive starters. Their total this year, win total, is 11.5. Yes, they played 12 games. So basically, it's basically getting an open parlay and parlaying all of their games together, which I think is bad value. I think if you like Alabama to go over the total, you should open a 12 leg parlay, and you should play the money line on every game. And I think that will pay better than +115 if I had a guess, because they have a couple games where I'm sure the spread is not going to be insane. So here's their schedule. They started off home versus in a neutral site game in Atlanta versus Miami. They are 19.5-point favorites right now. They are going to beat Miami. Okay? Then they are home versus Mercer. That is a win. Then they get into the conference part of their schedule at Florida. We'll get into Florida this year. I think Florida is down.
And win.
I know Florida gave them a game last year, 52-46 SEC title. I think that is a win, and I don't think it's going to be particularly close. That's a game I might actually take Bama in. Then they are home versus Southern Miss. That's a win. Home versus Ole Miss. That's a win. Here is where they may get tripped up, if they get tripped up at all. At Texas A&M, October 9th. Joe, I don't know how you feel about Texas A&M, but I think
who's the QB?
For Texas A&M?
Yeah.
Or for Alabama? Well, we'll get into that. But I think that is a losable game for them, considering it is the first of their back-to-back roadies, and they are at Mississippi State the next week. Now, again, I very rarely make exceptions for power teams, but I may for the Crimson Tide here. I still think that at Texas A&M game probably actually determines their win total. I think that they win that game, I think they win that game, and I think they beat Mississippi State as well. Next week, they are home versus Tennessee. That's a win. Then they have a bye week going into LSU, who should be talented this year. But that's a win. Home versus New Mexico State, win. Home versus Arkansas, win. At Auburn, who is not nearly as good as they usually are, win. I know they have lost a significant amount just all over the offense. John Michi is the the wide receiver there, who's going to be the guy who is, who is kind of the big guy there. The big offensive star. They also get the guy, Agee Hall, who is the guy we talked about on the podcast earlier this weekend. They bring back, their left tackle as well and the right guard. Pretty much everyone else in that team is new, whether transfer or whatever. There should still be the favorite to win it all. They did lose a ton, but their defense probably is going to be the best defense they've had in years. And special teams, by the way, is rated the number one special teams. And apparently the margin ain't close. So between the special teams and the defense, Alabama should be exceptional that way. And all they have to do is just make it manageable, make it manageable offensively. Do your job, get the wins you're supposed to. So I still think this is a win for I think over 11.5 is the right side for Bama.
I agree with that. I'm not gonna PP it, but Bryce Young, they're loaded, bro. They are looking good. So let's go to Texas A&M, Jimbo Fisher. Real close to making the college football playoff last year. We wanted them or tried to get them in, but we couldn't. But they're going to have a new signal caller after Devin Mond was there forever. The two names I see are Zach Calzada and Haynes King. They're going for the job. They obviously need to replace a lot of people this year. But, dude, their defense will be good. Jimbo will figure that out. The thing is with me is that I feel like they're still better than LSU. I think Ole Miss is on the rise. Auburn, who knows what the fuck they are. Arkansas took a jump last year, and Mississippi State is coming along. So Alabama is the best team in this fucking conference. Like, there's no doubt. Who's second? It's probably Texas A&M, but who's their quarterback, right? I mean, that's kind of, and then could LSU make a comeback? So that's where it's interesting to me about Texas A&M. But I think their defense will be good, and they're well coached.
Yeah, I mean, the reason, and their win total this year is 9.5. The reason I don't know, I'm not going to touch it, is because I don't know anything about the quarterback. They're apparently, reportedly, a talented group. But, I mean, the drop from Kellen Mond is going to be big. And Mond, to be perfectly frank with you, wasn't a great or elite college quarterback. Like, he was good. He wasn't great. They returned 6 offensive starters, 9 defensive starters. They're going to be better on the, on the defense. Like they're going to do, you know, they're going to be a better defensive team returning all this. They should be really, really good. And they should have enough talent to compete with Alabama. That being said, they need a quarterback. So I think that the reason there's 5 national title contenders, and I think the reason they're on the outside of that is because we just don't know about the quarterback, whether it's going to be Hayes King or Eli Stowers or Zach Calzada. We don't know. And again, I think that they're going to have to play around with that and figure out what the case is there. But Isaiah Spiller, running back, we know what he is. Kid's awesome. They're going to be great there. Their win total is 9.5. I'm just telling you right now. I lean over right now. They open Kent State at home and in Colorado, which is a neutral site game, but it's on the road in Denver. They should be 2-0 those games. Home game versus New Mexico the next week, that's 3-0. Home game versus Arkansas, which is in Arlington, so it's kind of a neutral site game, but still. In my opinion, they're 4-0 at the start of the season. Home versus Mississippi State. This could be a trap game because they're looking ahead to Bama the next week coming off Arkansas. And now it's home. To circle that game versus Arkansas September 25th, because I bet you A&M is going to be a big favorite, and I would not be surprised if Arkansas covers that game. That being said, they should start the season 4-0. You should circle the Mississippi State game October 2nd, excuse me, not the Arkansas game, the Mississippi State game, and you should circle that. They should start 5-0. Then they face Bama. I'm still going to have them losing to Bama. I know it's in College Station. I get it. It's going to be crazy. I'm still saying Bama wins that game because the unknown at quarterback for Texas A&M is too great. And again, there is very much an unknown at quarterback for Bama as well. It's just he's more of a proven product, in my opinion, Bryce Young, or at least a known product. Then they are on the road to Missouri the next week. I think Missouri is going to be better. Missouri actually might give them a tough time in that game, but I think that's a win. South Carolina is a win to me. Then they have a bye going into Auburn at home, which I think is a win. At Mississippi, probably a win. It's Ole Miss. I mean, should be a win. Home versus Prairie View, that's a win. Here's their second loss, in my opinion, at LSU late in the season. I think they lose to LSU. I think they finish 10-2. Now, I can see them going 9-3. I can see them going 11-1. I can see them going 10-2. I think they're finishing 10-2. I think they're going to finish number 6 or 7 in the country. I think they're going to be really, really good, assuming health, obviously. I just I can't play the over because, first off, the quarterback is a question mark. And second off, I feel confident they're going to beat, you know, Missouri on the road and Auburn at home. But I do worry about those games. And Texas A&M always has a clunker every year. Like, they always do. Last year was Vanderbilt. They beat them 17-12. That was a fucking clunker. So, I mean, you know, they always throw one in. And most years, that's a loss. So they were lucky to be 9-1 last year.
All right, Miles Brennan or Max Johnson. That's who will be under center possibly for LSU, who struggled, man. Off a national championship.
Max Johnson was named their starting quarterback.
All right, I like him. I like him, actually.
I believe Max Johnson was named the starting quarterback a couple weeks ago. So
there's talent on that defense, man. Like, Derek Stingley Jr. is going to be, what, one of the top corners in the country? So, I feel like their defense will be okay, but holy shit, they gave up 35 points a game last year. That was a fluke, and that was obviously, I think, was because of just the numbers here. But I don't know. Are they still in, like, some sort of protocol where they can't make a bowl anymore? They went 5-5, but they, like, were lucky to go 5-5 last year. Like, they...
I believe they are bowl eligible again. So.
Okay. Yeah, so I liked what Max Johnson did. Miles Brennan, just
he was rough last year, dude. He really was.
So, I don't know. I mean, I know that quarterback. I know that talent. I guess I got to hear their schedule. I know Coach O's going to fucking get them back to playing. I think they rebound, man. What's their win total?
I'm still trying to get to it right now because the page is frozen. Let's see.
I'm going to think 6.5, 7.
They are 8. So the win total is 8 right now for LSU. Just so for some info as well, Miles Brennan is under the knife, so he is out for a while. It is Max Johnson versus Garrett Nussmeier. Johnson was named the starter, but apparently Nussmeier has been very, very good during the fall camp, and that Max Johnson has a very slim lead on that job. So if he struggles, they're going to pull him, and they're going to pull him quick. Joe, to kind of talk about, well, they got decimated last year with talent. They're bringing back almost everyone this year. 9 returning offensive starters, 9 returning defensive starters. And they're going to be significantly better on both sides of the ball. They were terrible last year, 5-5. They struggled badly. They're going to be better. They really, really should be. They should be favored in 10 of their first 11 games, if you look at the schedule. And I know that they sucked last year, but I think they're going to be good. And I think I said in part one that I probably wouldn't have them top 25. I think I was over-exaggerating. I think I would have LSU top 25. They're an SEC team. They're probably the third best SEC team. They probably should be a top 25 team. I think I was over-exaggerating that. I will own the fact that I don't think Florida is the top 25 team. So I will be consistent about that at the very least. And we'll get to them. But let's start with their schedule. At UCLA to start the season, Joe. This is a really, really tough game. This is not an easy game. I think we gave it to UCLA to start. I gave it to UCLA, but I am still kind of meh on that. I don't know. I think that that's going to be a really toss-up game, in my opinion. I think that can go either way. I'd say LSU probably wins it now. Looking back, I'd probably say LSU wins that game, to be perfectly fair. So I'll say 1-0. McNeese State, they're 2-0. Central Michigan, they're 3-0. Then they start their conference schedule at Mississippi State. I think it's a tough way to start the season. But I think it's a win. I do. Then they're home versus Auburn. Auburn's going to have a tough lay this year. I think that's a win for LSU as well. At Kentucky, I think Kentucky's down this year. That's a win. at Florida, home versus Florida, that should be a win. Then at Ole Miss, that's a win. Then they're at Bama. I think that's a loss. Home versus Arkansas is a win. Louisiana Monroe is a win. And Texas A&M is a loss, in my opinion. Actually, I gave it to him. I think they said it was a win. So, let's see. I have I think UCLA, Alabama, Texas A&M are the games that I'm very concerned about. And I think it's possible to get tripped up in one more. I lean over here. I think over eight. I think we see this team 8-4, 9-3. Joe, what are your thoughts?
I think eight wins is right on. Fuck, I don't know, man. I don't know if they got enough. I know they got talent. I wouldn't go over. I'm not going to bet that one. Nope. I think they get eight wins, and they'll, because of their talent, we'll probably get them over that.
I think they probably get nine wins, but I also think it's possible they drop one of those random SEC games, like Mississippi, Ole Miss, Mississippi State catches them on a night, like, you know, LSU just doesn't have it because they're still not the loaded wagon they were a couple years ago. They're nowhere near that. So, you know, quarterback's still going to be a question for them. Like, don't get me wrong, they're going to be a good team this year. I just think that there's going to be a lot of question marks still about this team. I do think this is going to be over. I think this is going to be over. I'm not going to PP it, but that's the way I lean with this LSU team. I do. I think eight, nine wins.
I feel better about Ole Miss with their good quarterback, Matt Corral, with their high-powered offense. Obviously, defense will always be an issue with a Lane Kiffin team. They had 18 turnovers last year, which was a lot. But they're 38 points a game, man. They were in almost every game, or at least put up points in every single game versus SEC opponents, though they did give up 40 fucking points against every one of them. I like this kid Corral. I think he could be a sneaky first-day quarterback. He led the fucking nation in passing, didn't he, on total offense? Yeah, total offense.
Yeah.
383 yards a game.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Matt Corral is awesome, and he's on a lot of people's Heisman sleeper list. Is really not much of a sleeper anymore because he's, you know, the way that Lane Kiffin runs his offense, he should have put up ridiculous, stupid stats. I mean, a lot of people are talking about him as the number one quarterback in the country, top 300 yards in 7 of the 10 games versus the SEC last year. So, I mean, you know, this is a guy who should put up stupid statistics, and they should be a bona fide offensive juggernaut, if you want to call them that. That's what I think. Again, they were 5-5 last year. They ended up beating, by the way, they beat Indiana in the bowl game. So, I mean, you know, they're good enough to be, you know, take on these good teams. You take a look at their schedule. Home versus Louisville in a neutral site game. I think that's a win. Then they face Austin Peay. That's a win. A home versus Tulane. That's a win. I think they start 3-0. 2-1 at worst. And by the way, their win total is 7.5. Then they start their conference schedule at Alabama. That's going to be a loss. But, I mean, that's not really that big of a surprise. Home versus Arkansas, I think that's a win. I think that their offense is going to be too good for that Arkansas team who lost a lot. And I think that that's going to be an issue for Arkansas this year. At Tennessee, I'm still not very high on Tennessee. I think that's a win too. So right now I have them starting 5-1. Home versus LSU, I think, is a loss. I think LSU is too talented for them. And then at Auburn, I think that's a loss too. So I think they get back-to-back losses in the SEC there. Then they're home versus Liberty. I think that's a team that they match up perfectly against because they're an air raid team. Liberty's going to be an air raid team. They're going to be able to outscore that Liberty team, especially with the talent that they have. I think that's a win for them, even though it's a contestable win, but it's a win. Home versus Texas A&M, I'm calling that a loss. Home versus Vandy, that's a win. At Mississippi State, I think that's a loss. I think that's a, you know, rivalry game. I think that's a loss. So I have Louisville, Austin Peay, Tulane, which is 3. Arkansas, Tennessee, Liberty, Vanderbilt. I have them at 7 wins. I am going under on Ole Miss, under 7.5. I think they can win 8 games. I think it's very winnable that they win at Auburn. Or at Mississippi State. I think those are both winnable games for them. I just think you're looking at the schedule. I think Auburn's going to rack up a few wins somewhere. Mississippi State, it's a Thursday night game. They'll already be bowl eligible, and they probably won't be playing for much. I think that's a, you know, I think that's a loss right there. And again, they're a very talented team. Matt Corral is going to put up a ton of points there. Jerrion Ealy is going to be very good at running back. Like they have a lot. You know, 8 returning offensive starters, 9 defensive starters. They're going to step up there. They're going to be a very improved team. It's just, are they 8 wins improved? I don't know. I think that they're, I think the, you know, 4-0 in the non-conference really helps them. Do they get 5 wins in the SEC? I'd say probably not. I think they get 4.
Yeah, I like them. I don't know if I touched that over on that one either. Now, Auburn, let me tell you about them. Bo Nix, who's been highly scrutinized, and of course we know about their old coach there, but they're bringing in the Boise State QB quarterback. He's working with Bo Nix. Do you know that TJ Finley transferred there too from LSU?
I did know that, yes.
So, but dude, Tank Bigsby, in my opinion, will be the best running back in the SEC this year. Their line blew last year, and they're not getting any better. That was an issue for fucking Nix. He's running around like a fucking asshole all night. So their defense is going to be, you know, for a team that's been known for, you know, defense and struggles on offense, it's flipped. New scheme, new run defense, new, you name it. New, a bunch of transfers. I feel like that's good for Auburn. What's their win total?
So Auburn's win total this year is 6.5.
Over, baby. Over. But I will say this. Their fucking schedule sucks.
Yeah, number two most difficult schedule in the country. And there's a reason why. They open home versus Akron. Well, we'll do schedule first and I'll do everything else. Home versus Akron and then home versus Alabama State.
2-0.
Those should be 2-0. At Penn State, Joe, that is a very tough game.
At Penn State for Bo Nix is going to be hard.
I think that's a loss. I think I'd call that a loss. I think that's fair. I think I'd call it a loss there. I think Penn State wins that game. I think they're pretty even. If that was home, I'd probably give it to Auburn. On the road, I'm probably going to lean Penn State. Then they have Georgia State at home, and I'm telling you, this is going to be a much tougher game than people think, especially looking ahead. Coming off that Penn State game, looking ahead to LSU and Georgia, that is a trap game. I'm telling you, Georgia State, you want circle September 25th, Georgia State, Auburn. Georgia State is going to cover that game that is coming off a game at Penn State, looking ahead to LSU and Georgia. I mean, just the spot of spots right there, really. That's and against a Georgia State team who's going to be underrated. I think Georgia State's going to be very good that game. Then they're at LSU. That's a loss, in my opinion. Home versus Georgia. That's a loss, in my opinion. At Arkansas, tough game. I think they pull that out, but I don't feel great about it. Then they have a bye, which is why I like them to beat Ole Miss the next week. Then they're on the road at Texas A&M. I think that's a loss. Home versus Mississippi State, I think that's a win. At South Carolina, I think that's a win. South Carolina's bad this year. And then home versus Alabama, that's a loss. So I have them – Akron, Alabama State. I'll give them Georgia State, but I don't feel great about it. At Arkansas, it's 4. Ole Miss is 5. Mississippi State is 6. And then Mississippi State is 7. So really it depends on can they win at Arkansas and then beat Ole Miss and Mississippi State at home. If they can do that, then they go over. I tell you, I don't feel confident in that whatsoever. 6.5 is the right number. The schedule is just fucking terrible. It's just hard for them. It's an SEC schedule. Now they're home, and so they should be good at home. You know, they beat Ole Miss on the road last year 35-28. They beat Mississippi State on the road last year 24-10. But I'm telling you, both those teams are improved, and I don't feel great about saying they have 7 wins this year. I think they get there. I think they find 7 wins. But I don't feel good about it. I really don't. I'm going to pass on this one, too. But I do understand. Listen, they bring back 8 offensive starters, 7 defensive starters. The reports about Bo Nix are so far fantastic. The defense should be good. Like, they really should be good. And remember, Malzahn's not there. So Malzahn left for UCF. This is Brian Harsin's first year in Auburn, which, you know, that is, in my opinion, this is not a, these are not his guys. It's a totally different system. It's tough. I think they get the 7 wins, but I'm not putting my dollars on it. No way.
Okay. Let's move on, man. I got a cutoff of 8, so I know we got. I know probably not. I don't know how much further we're gonna get here, but Arkansas, a very improved team, but they got that Phillippe Franks who came in there and did really well. I maybe they're up and coming. They're gonna get KJ Jefferson in at quarterback. I don't know how to feel about them. I thought they everyone likes that coach.
Yeah, Pittman looks good. Their win total is at 5.5, Joe. Their schedule is just really tough. Home versus Rice, home versus Texas, home versus Georgia Southern is their non-conference schedule. They get Arkansas Pine Bluff later in the year. The home versus Texas A&M, at Georgia, at Mississippi, back-to-back roadies, home versus Auburn, home versus Arkansas Pine Bluff, home versus Mississippi State, at LSU, at Bama, back-to-back roadies, and home versus Missouri in a neutral site game. They were 3-7 last year, returned 9 offensive starters, 10 defensive starters this year. They're going to be better. They're going to be more talented. The problem is their schedule is the number one most difficult schedule in the entire country. They should beat Rice. I think that's a win, but not an easy one. I'm going to say they lose to Texas. I'm going to say they beat Georgia Southern, but it's not going to be easy. Lose to Texas A&M. Lose at Georgia. I have them losing at Ole Miss. I have them losing versus Auburn. I have them beating Arkansas Pine Bluff. I have them beating Mississippi State. I have them losing at LSU and Alabama, and I have them beating Missouri. I think this team is good. They return a lot of starters. They lose the quarterback, and they, you know, the quarterback position, they shouldn't lose too much. But give me PP under 5.5 for Arkansas. I just don't see 6 wins on that schedule. It's the hardest schedule in the entire country. So I just I don't see it there.
And then finally, Mississippi State, who started off well. Obviously, Mike Leach, the air raid. Will Rogers will be taking over there. Obviously, a couple of their receivers stepped up last year. What the fuck happened to them a year ago? I have no clue.
The Leach era did not work well after early on versus LSU. Did not go well.
What's the win total?
Their win total this year is 6. 6 is the win total for Mississippi State.
Can't see it.
They return 8 offensive starters, 8 defensive starters, new quarterback, second year in the air raid. They should be more versed to it. They're not their schedule. Home versus La Tech, they should win that game. Home versus NC State, I think that's going to be a borderline game. And it's a borderline game, I'm telling you. At Memphis, another toss up to me. LSU is a loss. At Texas A&M is a loss. They have a bye, then Bama, that's a loss. At Vandy, that's a win. Home versus Kentucky, that's a win. At Arkansas, I think that's a win. But then they have Auburn on the back-to-back, that's a loss. Home versus Tennessee State, that's a win. Home versus Ole Miss, I have that as a win. I have them beating. La Tech, I have them beating. I'll give them NC State, that's 2. I'm going to say they lose to Memphis. I'm going to give them Vandy, that's 3. Kentucky, that's 4. Arkansas is 5. Tennessee State is 6. And Mississippi, 7. So I think they're going over their win total, but I don't feel great. It's going to really depend on that NC State and Memphis, those 2 games right there, in my opinion, probably determine where that win total heads. So I'm going to pass and stay off this one, but I lean over on that one.
All right, let's knock out the East in 15 minutes here. Georgia, obviously their quarterback is going to be the JT Daniels, but, you know, there's question marks when it comes to him. Now, I think that they're loaded when it comes to secondary, when it comes to wide receivers. Like, they have it all. They have one of the best fronts in the country. We know what their defense can do. So, like, that's all on paper. They might be the best team in the East Division, Dan. They have a lot coming back. They can lean on that defense. They have a couple of quarterbacks to look at. I think some of the other teams are down on that side. But I think Georgia's the darling of this conference, or this side of the conference.
Okay, I mean, Clemson is the opening game of the season, so I mean, I think that that's a complete and utter toss up. 3.5 is the spread. I think you can make a case for either team on that. It's a neutral site game in Charlotte, so probably more of a home game for Clemson. I'm going to say that I'm going to call it a loss, although I think it could easily be a win. Their win total is 10.5, so it's probably going to come down to that Clemson game because their schedule is UAB win, South Carolina win, at Vanderbilt win, Arkansas win, at Auburn I think would be a tricky spot, should be a win, Kentucky win, Florida's a neutral site game in Jacksonville, but that should be a win, Missouri's a win, at Tennessee's a win, Charleston Southern's a win, and at Georgia Tech is a win. So they tripped up one other time besides that Clemson game. If they lose the Clemson, I think they go under. I think they'll get tripped up one time during that schedule. If they beat Clemson, I think they're going over. So I think if you like Georgia's over, play the money line versus Clemson, because I think that is really your shot to go over there, because I think they're going to get tripped up one more time. They'll have one bad game. JT Daniels is not a consistent quarterback. So I think that's what you're looking at there. Really good team. They're still they're a top five team in this country. They should be favored in 11 of those 12 games. They're probably top 20 in every single offensive, defensive, special team unit in the country. They're a really, really good team, and Kirby Smart's going to have them playing very good ball. Their schedule is easy, number 60 in the country. I just think at Auburn is a possible loss. Home versus Florida are possible losses. Not that either of those teams are better, because they're not, but I think that's possible. I still lean over Georgia, over 10.5.
All right, and then we can get into a few others here. Florida, I mean, Emory Jones is taking over. The guy's dynamic, I will say that. But we talked about this on the podcast. No Trask, no Tony, no Pitts. That's huge. But Dan Mullen, great coach. I think they'll have them at least, you know, moving the ball, et cetera. You know, they only allowed 15 points a couple of years ago, 15 points per game. The defense was, they kind of struggled last year on defense. That was a big issue for them. So, you know, Missouri is next. And then, like, you know, some of these other teams, Kentucky, Florida's probably better than all these other teams. So when it comes to the win total, what do you got, 9?
Yeah, the win total is 9. And, I mean, if you're looking at it, they have 5 offensive returning starters, 5 defensive returning starters. Their defense was terrible early in the season last year. It got better, but still versus SEC opponents, they struggled when they faced any sort of reasonable team. Their offense is the reason they won so many games last year. And now that their offense is going to take a major step back, in my opinion, I think that's going to be tough. Looking at their schedule, home versus Florida Atlantic is going to be a tougher game than most people think, but should be a win. At South Florida's a win. Home versus Alabama, that's a loss. They should be 2-1. Home versus Tennessee, I think that's a win. That's 3-1. At Kentucky, that's going to be a tricky game. Kentucky and Florida have a crazy rivalry that they got there. I think that's going to be a win, but that's going to be a tough game, Joe. That's not going to be easy. So I'm going to give them a win. Then home versus Vandy, I'm going to give them a win. At LSU, that's a loss. A bye week going into Georgia, that's a loss. At South Florida is a win. Home versus Samford is a win. Home versus Florida State is a win. And at Missouri is a loss, in my opinion. I'm going PP under 9 minus 110 for Florida. I have 3 definite losses on their schedule. Alabama, LSU, and Georgia. I'm going to free roll on the rest and say that they get tripped up by either Tennessee, Kentucky, or at Missouri, or even Florida State in a potential rivalry game. That's where I'm going there. I know that might be a little bit ballsy, maybe not my normal play. I just don't feel good about this Florida team being a top 25 talent team. I think their schedule breaks easy for them. So, all right, next game, next team, Kentucky, Joe. Kentucky, their win total this year, 7, heavily juiced to the over. They were 5-6 last year, bringing back 7 offensive starters, 5 defensive starters. Their quarterback transferred out. They added Joey Gatewood this year. So, you know, Gatewood could be a potential starter there. We don't know. We're going to see. Will Levis is apparently the potential starter right now. And I'll see if there's anything there. But right now, this looks like a team that you're hoping to improve. I don't think they're a contender in the East, but they should be improved from their 5-6 year last year, Joe. So that's where I'm going with that.
Well, I just thought that they were supposed to be good last year. So this year, they're not.
Oh, and by the way, I apologize. Joey Gatewood transferred to UCF. I apologize.
Oh, okay. So yeah, they're gonna struggle. They were supposed to be better last year. They weren't. I think Missouri's better than them. So
I do too. I did too. Will Levis, by the way, was named the starting quarterback for Kentucky, so that has been settled. Here is their schedule. They face Louisiana Monroe week one. That's a win. Missouri home week two. That probably determines their win total right here of 7, in my opinion. That probably determines the entire thing. Chattanooga week three is a win. At South Carolina, I think that's a win. Although that could be a trap game, depending on how talented Kentucky is, but that's probably a win. Home versus Florida is a loss. Home versus LSU is a loss. At Georgia is a loss. It's a brutal stretch. Then they have a bye at Mississippi State. I think that's a loss, to be honest with you. Home versus Tennessee, that's probably a win, in my opinion. At Vanderbilt, that's a win. Home versus New Mexico State, that's a win. At Louisville, I think that's a loss. So I'm going Louisiana Monroe, Chattanooga, South Carolina, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, New Mexico State. I'm saying they get 6 wins this year. I like the under 7 for Kentucky. Kentucky under 7.
Let's make that a double. I think they're going to suck.
Bang, double PT.
Yeah. Now, Missouri, on the other hand, I think will be better. They went 5-5 last year.
By the way, that's plus 140 for us.
They lose their running back, Roundtree. You know, they weren't great defensively a year ago. I think they're better this year.
I think they're better, but their schedule doesn't break well for them, and everyone else in the conference does get better.
What's their win total?
Kentucky's win total is 7.
No, I mean Missouri.
Oh, apologies. Missouri's win total is also 7.
Oof. They won 5 last year. They should be better.
They should be better. 8 offensive starters, 6 returning defensive starters. Here's their schedule. Home versus Central Michigan. That's a win. At Kentucky, I just talked about it. I think that game probably determines both these teams' win totals, whether they go over or push. I still think Missouri is going to be more talented. Kentucky, I have them as a win. Southeast Missouri, I have as a win. I'm going to say Missouri loses at Boston College, but I think that is a very winnable game for them. We talked about that. I'm pretty sure I gave it to Missouri when we talked about BC. Tennessee, I have them as a win. That's 4. North Texas, I have them as a win. That's 5. Home versus Texas A&M, that's a loss. They have a bye at Vandy. That's a win. At Georgia, back-to-back games, that's a loss. Definitely a loss to Georgia. That Vandy game might be a trap game. Home versus South Carolina is a win. Home versus Florida, I'm calling that a win. I know that might be ballsy, but I'm telling you, I'm down on Florida this year. And at Arkansas to end the season, I think that's a win. I'm giving them Central Michigan, at Kentucky, Southeast Missouri. I'm giving them 3 of the first 4. Tennessee, North Texas, Vanderbilt, South Carolina, Florida, Arkansas. I'm giving them 9 wins. I'm taking the over 7 with Missouri PP in that one.
All right. And Tennessee, Josh Heupel, that power offense. They should be better on. Now, this is the team I'm looking at as a team that should be better with Joe Milton and Hendon Hooker, 2 quarterbacks. They got a good offense here. What's the total? Because I'm leaning over.
So Josh Heupel, first year head coach, the win total here in this one. And I'm telling you, Joe, be careful. It's 6. Over 6 is at plus money. Under 6 is very, 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 very hit. Return 5 offensive starters, 7 defensive starters. You talked about bringing in Joe Milton and Hendon Hooker as their transfer candidates here. There's their schedule right here. Home versus Bowling Green, that's a win. Home versus Pittsburgh, I think that's a really tough game. I think that's a loss. I think that's going to be a really good game. That might determine their win total right there. Home versus Tennessee Tech is a win. At Florida, that's a loss. At Missouri, that's a loss, in my opinion. I'm going big. Back-to-back roadies there, I think they lose both of those. Home versus South Carolina, that's a win. Home versus Ole Miss, I think I'm going to give it to Ole Miss, so I'm going to say that's a loss. At Alabama, that's a loss. Then they have a bye week at Kentucky going into the bye. I'm going to say Tennessee gets that win. I'm going to call that a win. coming off a bye week after Alabama, home versus Georgia. Actually, you know what? Now looking at the Georgia, I say that's a loss. Home versus Georgia is a loss. South Alabama is a win, and Vanderbilt's a win. So I don't feel super confident in this. I have them going. I have them 5 wins. I don't have them going bowling. If they beat Pittsburgh again, I think that Pittsburgh game determines their win total. Really, I really think it does. That Pittsburgh game and that Kentucky game are going to be the keys to their win total. I'm going to pass over. On it. You're going to go over? Oh, wow. Okay. Joe on the over for Tennessee.
Guantanamo Bay's gone.
Yes, you are definitely right about that. It's also at plus 135, which is a nice number for you.
I'll take that. Two more hit in. We got South Carolina.
We have three more, but yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I'm looking at South Carolina right now. Okay. They sucked at stopping the run last year. They were 13th in the SEC in pass defense. That needs to improve. Yeah, I just feel like they're down again this year, too.
Yeah, I mean, Luke Doty is going to be their quarterback, it looks like. All the quarterbacks transferred out there. Shane Beamer is going to be in his first year in the system. There's going to be a lot of moving parts. 8 offensive returning starters, 6 defensive returning starters. Their defense got obliterated at times, and it was awesome at times last year. Just a lot of inconsistency with this team, especially defensively. You're hoping that they're better this year. Here's their win total this year. South Carolina is 4, and the 4 is heavily juiced up. Here's your schedule. Home versus Eastern Illinois, that's a win. At East Carolina, I think that's a win, but it's going to be tougher than most think. At Georgia is a loss. Home versus Kentucky is a loss. Home versus Troy, I'm calling that a loss. At Tennessee, I'm calling that a loss. Home versus Vanderbilt, I'm calling that a win. At Texas A&M, that's a loss. Then they have a bye week. Florida, at Missouri, Auburn and Clemson. They're not winning any of those games. I think they get 3 wins. I think they have a potential 4th with either Kentucky or Troy. I think that's their winnable game, so I'm not going to go under, but I do think under 4 is the right side on this team.
I think you're right here, Dan. I think you're right on this one. I just hate them. 2-8. Ugh, gross. Just not a good team to me. Who do we miss?
We have Vanderbilt and Mississippi State left to do.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So Vandy is always the one of the cellar dwellers, right?
Always.
Their
win total is 3.5 this year, Joe. They were 0-9 last year.
Ken Seals wasn't bad as a freshman.
He wasn't. He's returning as their starter. They have 9 returning offensive starters, 8 returning defensive starters.
God, do their defense stink. All these teams' defenses stink.
They do. Clark Lee, his first year head coach for Vandy. I mean, it was a disaster. It's going to take a couple years ago, a couple years for him to build this up, in my opinion. They should be improved, but again, how much improvement do you really expect? East Tennessee State, I think that's a win. At Colorado State, competitive game. I'll give it to them. Let's call that a win. Let's say they have 2 wins to start. Home versus Stanford, that's a loss. Home versus Georgia, that's a loss. Home versus UConn, that's a win. At Florida, that's a loss. At South Carolina, I said that's a loss. Winnable game. It's a loss, in my opinion. Home versus Mississippi State, home versus Missouri, both of those are losses. Then they have a bye week. Home versus Kentucky, that's a loss. At Mississippi, that's a loss. At Tennessee, that's a loss. Now, they have a lot of winnable games, in my opinion. I think that at South Carolina is winnable. I think home versus Mississippi State is winnable. Home versus Kentucky is winnable. And at Tennessee are winnable games. So while their win total is 3.5, I think that is going to go over. I just am not going to play it myself. But I do think they have a bunch of winnable games. And I think this is going to be a 3 or 4 win team this year. I don't think they're going to be 0-9 and as bad as they were last year. So.
All right.
And you said finally, we missed Mississippi State. Yes, Mississippi State.
Oh, Mississippi. Yeah, did we do that, Mike Leach?
Oh, we did, Mike Leach. You're right. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. You are right. That's right. We did.
So I have Georgia and Alabama, and it's very fucking, very, very, very chalky.
I do too. It's Georgia and Alabama, and it feels like going chalky in all these, but I think Georgia and Alabama are the right sides in SEC. Joe, who do you have as your final 4 before we log off? And by the way, we don't have time for questions today. What we're going to do is we're going to take a question. We're going to answer them all Saturday. So that's what we're going to do Saturday as we prep for college football. It's a big college football show. Joe, who do you have as your Final Four? Who do you have as your champion?
Oh, God. It's Oklahoma for sure. Shit, huh? Oklahoma, I like Clemson to win the SEC. I have Ohio State. And fuck, Alabama? Is that really what I'm doing? Alabama, Oklahoma, Clemson, Ohio State? Is that what I'm doing? Do you have something different? Uh-oh. He froze.
I lost you. All right, I'm back.
I have four. Mine's chalky as fuck.
Good.
I have Alabama, Oklahoma, Clemson, and Ohio State.
Who do you have winning it all?
Fuck. Ugh, Alabama.
All right, I'm going to go with Clemson, Oklahoma. I'm going to go with Georgia, and I'm going to go with Ohio State. I'm going to say Alabama misses out on the Final Four because I think they will lose one. And I think that if they get to the SEC title, they go 11-1, and then they lose to Georgia. I think Georgia gets in over them. So it's going to be a little ballsy. I'm going to go with Georgia to make it. I'm going to say Alabama doesn't make the Final Four. I'm going to go with Georgia as my national champion this year. JT Daniels is going to play into his own. We've seen him play at USC. I'm going to say that their schedule breaks for them. All they really have to do is beat Bama in Florida, and they're basically in the Final Four, and then anything can happen. I'm going to take Georgia to be my national champion this year. That is the way I'm going to go. We don't have time for questions.
I'll do one more, though, Dan. I think that if somehow Alabama loses in the regular season or loses, like, say it's like Georgia and Alabama in the SEC championship game or whatever, but one of them has a loss or two losses, if Cincinnati can fucking win out and A&M struggles and Iowa State struggles, they're going to have to get considered.
They will. I think we'll talk more about this on Saturday because I think that college football will own the show on Saturday. But I think that is definitely a consideration that we need to talk about, that Cincinnati will need to be included in that group. And I think Texas A&M is going to need some thought about that, and maybe Iowa State too. So I think that's what you're looking at right there.
All right, Dan, I know we did another 2.5 podcasts. I have dinner. I got to get up at 5. I got a lot going on. I've had a long day, so appreciate you guys sticking with us, getting through our Power 5 podcast, even though we split into the two.
Seven PPs today, 11 PPs last time, lots of PPs.
All right, man, well, this is it. All our previews are in. We'll do a big show on Saturday. He's Dan Lifshitz, I'm Joe Murray. This has been another edition of the Over Under Podcast.
Who you got?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.